Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Yeah. Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are back with another edition. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots at your favorite online destination, patriots.com. The guys will be here any minute now from the locker room, Andy and Paul. Eric will be by later. Kevin's in the booth, but I'm here, and we've got a lot to talk about. I guess yesterday was like a huge day, probably the most phone calls we ever had for a single show. They were just lined up. Let's do that again at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, and of course, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, the Patriots lose a game and everyone just goes crazy. But there's a lot of talk out there, not from Patriots Nation, but from other teams, really, you know, kind of dissing the Patriots defense. I just read today where Hines Ward, he was saying that, you know, I could have played if I wanted, you know, if I really wanted to push it, I could have played. But we felt with this Patriots secondary, I didn't need to, that we could exploit them. That's pretty damning. And then Tom Coughlin didn't come right out and say that, you know, the Patriots were playing, you know, terrible defense. But he pretty much said that, you know, Patriots aren't playing pretty good defense right now. So, you know, it's, I've never heard this before where, you know, the Patriots have been sort of dismissed the way they are this week. But it's out there. Paul's laughing.
I'm just laughing at you.
Why?
Because we made jokes yesterday saying, now, the Patriots are 8.5-point favorites in this game. We all think it's a little high. We thought the spread was a little bit big, although Andy doesn't, because Andy thinks they're going to win going away. But yet, somehow, when the game is over, I said, I predicted at about 7:45 on Sunday night, we're going to be getting a lot of sarcastic comments from players saying that we all counted them out, when in reality, no one's done any such thing, but it seems like you're doing your best to count them out.
You don't think that the defense is being counted out right now?
The defense is out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the defense is out.
But they're
going to win the game.
I know, but people are saying it, is my point, like on other teams, like Hines Ward.
I thought the Ward thing was a little weird.
Yeah, it was very strange. Yeah. But I'm just talking about the overall.
Is there any chance that his coach feels like Paul and I did, that if he played, he would hurt their chances?
Right. Well,
because then we have the slow guy underneath who they'll probably be able to cover and tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I meant in terms of the Patriots as a team, not the defense.
No, I'm just talking about the defense right now. But as a team, no, I mean,
I don't think the Patriots are being dismissed is the reason why I chuckled when you said, I can't remember any time when the Patriots have been dismissed like this.
Well, they're certainly not being dismissed in Vegas. I mean, 8.5
point not being
favorite?
Dismissed by anybody.
I mean, if anything, if I was the Giants, I'd be like, you know what? I mean, are they that banged up? That
the Giants aren't any more banged up than any other team. Everybody's banged up.
But they're kind of their strength. a couple of the guys
are back.
But they're
coming, but they don't know if they're going to be effective.
Oh, no. They played last week.
Yeah.
Tuck and Umanura played last week. Umanura was a beast in that game.
Amukamara is coming back. He you don't know anything about him because he's a rookie.
He's just a rookie.
But, I mean, they had their injuries early.
I mean, they lost some guys, too. I mean, they lost some players
early.
In the secondary.
They've been playing without him.
But, they've been playing. And, like I said, I don't think they're any more banged up than the Patriots are or, the Colts are or any other team.
So is it just that, the Patriots are tough at home? They don't lose two in a row?
All of that. NFC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they very rarely do you see the Patriots put up back-to-back stinkers where they just don't play very well. Now, that doesn't mean that you're guaranteed. There's a lot of firsts that happen, the Patriots almost never play badly coming off a bye, and, they lost coming off the bye. So all of these kinds of things end at some point, but I just feel like the Patriots are a better team playing at home. The Giants, much like we said last week with Pittsburgh, the Giants haven't played anybody. And not only Pittsburgh, at least, was 5-2, they had beaten five also-rans and lost to the two teams that were quality that they played. They lost to Houston and they lost to Baltimore. Well, the Giants have played seven also-rans.
Right.
They've won five of them and lost to Seattle at home, and they lost to Washington on opening day. I mean, they don't have a quality opponent among them in their seven games. Miami, Seattle, St. Louis,
and they just
Washington,
barely beat Miami.
They have one good win, Philadelphia. And when they beat Philadelphia, they weren't really, that was more about Philadelphia than it was the Giants.
Right.
So I will stand corrected. They have one quality win. I think Philadelphia is a good team, even though they're 3-4.
So, we'll get into the picks later, but, I think you're right. I think overall the Patriots are still a force. I think teams are still respecting them and circling them on their calendar. They haven't erased that yet.
Even more so.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers used it as a legitimizing game to say,
oh, absolutely.
We can beat a good team. We are among the elite.
They needed a signature win.
Right. We talked about
so
that
So it's
going
not
in.
Even just taking them normally. I still think they're the Patriots.
Right.
They're Bill Belichick. They're Tom Brady. We're going to beat them.
But this defense is being ridiculed.
Yes.
In a way.
And that was a strange thing. I agree with you, too, about Hines Ward. That was strange.
I don't have, maybe Kevin can get me Tom Coughlin's quotes, but.
I doubt it.
It wasn't, the Patriots defense is really playing poorly, but he basically said that in his words. And I can't remember the last time this happened.
The truth is never mean.
I don't remember the Coughlin thing. I don't remember reading that today, but you guys both are right about Hines Ward. That was an odd comment to make.
Now coming out of the Steelers, they've made odd comments before, and the better team didn't win and things like that. But I just thought, singling out a certain part of a team like that is not usual unless it's in praise.
Right.
In fact,
we see Bill every Wednesday go overboard
to not single out
anybody. And
right.
The one we always use is the Cleveland Browns, who had like two touchdowns. They can score from anywhere on the field. Well, yeah, that's true. They just haven't.
So then I start thinking about, look, there's no doubt that you can't argue with the fact that the Patriots pass defense stinks right now. It's been last in the league for a reason.
Did you see how far, I noticed that yesterday, between them and Indy is 65 yards per game. They are essentially 25% worse than the 31st ranked pass defense. That hurts a lot.
And I think
when that team gave up 60, right?
62 in a game. I can't believe that that's the worst pass team because I figure with all the games that they've had, teams be just content to run it down their throats and bury them. But I can't believe the numbers are that bad against
the
pass.
Think about, how do you correct this? I'm not saying how do you become one of the best pass defenses because that's just not going to happen. But how do you correct it to the point where teams aren't singling your pass defense out like that and ridiculing it? And to me, unless there's some hidden talent that we haven't seen yet that they're holding back,
they're not.
Or all of a sudden guys get faster, which you can't teach speed, you can't coach speed, the only way I think they're going to fix this is to get a hell of a lot more physical at the line of scrimmage and coupled with maybe an improved pass rush.
I think that's the key.
That's the only way they're going to do it.
I think they can, but
it's going to take a monumental effort.
I'm not sure about the physical at the line of scrimmage, if they can. I mean, we've seen McCourty struggle all year with that. If you're going to get him up and ask him to bump, he missed all the time, and they ran right by him. The pass rush is the one thing I think you hold out hope for. Andre Carter, we talked yesterday, maybe Mark Anderson needs to play more. You know, his bad side is people can run on him. He can't stop the run. Well, no one's going to try to run on you anyway, so get your pass rusher on the field, and if they do try to run on him, you win because you kept them from trying to take advantage of your pass defense.
Right.
So I think there's a you know, and if Haynesworth keeps saying he's going to knock the rust off, if he can be more impact, maybe you can get better there. I don't see much happening in the back end.
You know, the Patriots are allowing somewhere around 100 yards a game on the ground.
Right.
I would rather them allow 130, 140 yards a game on the ground and take that 40 or 50 or 60 yards off of the passing yards.
Ooh,
and
we'll be in 31st.
You know, but see, I don't think it matters that much.
Oh, I do.
I mean, how they get down the field, and you've said it before, how you get down the field, who cares?
No, but what I'm saying is I don't think it would be as hard to stop. You know, eventually, you know, if a team's going to try to run the ball down your throat, eventually you just stop them from doing it. I mean, unless you're just completely and totally inept. There's not very many NFL teams that just say, okay, you're just going to run it right down our throats. We're going to be powerless to stop it. But when you're throwing the ball the way Roethlisberger did on Sunday, they were powerless to stop it. And I think a lot of teams can do that. I don't think Pittsburgh is elite in that department.
Well, I think that, you know, and the other, you know, besides, you know, there is, it's not hopeless. There's things they can do. I think that you have to take a little bit of encouragement out of the red zone defense.
That's the one thing, yes.
So, but that gets to, okay, well, if that's what you're going to rely on, that means you're going to lose the time of possession battle every game, and your offense better score almost every time it has the ball. So that's what you're
touchdowns.
Left with.
Yeah. Better score touchdowns every
time.
Right,
so that's what you're left with.
And, but you have an offense that's capable of doing
that.
You have talent on offense that's good to great. That you can say, realistically, against most defenses, we can do that.
Yeah.
So that's why the season's not totally lost.
Of course it is.
You combine that with all the other teams have their hiccups along the way. I know Pittsburgh's great right now. They sucked a couple of weeks ago. Everybody has their reasons why you think they're not good. So don't pretend that there's a, you know, an undefeated team on the horizon that can't be beaten.
Well, yeah, Green Bay's vying for that, though.
The one thing that I really
I even think they are good, not great.
Oh, they're flawed. That's the one thing I really agree with Fred about when you always say that there's no teams that don't have these issues. There's no teams without flaws.
Right.
And the Patriots are one of a very many amount of teams in that league that are good, and they have flaws.
But the problem, as I said before, the Patriots' flaw happens to be the strength of the league. So it's magnified.
That was good analysis.
You know,
right there.
It's really magnified. Because of the numbers that get put up, you know, it's just too bad. You know, 25 points against the Steelers, I think going in we would have been happy with that. We just weren't happy with the way they scored them.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And you touched on it, Freddie, when you talked about the time of possession. If it unfolds like that and you come up with some red zone stops, that's great. You're going to be able to hang around, but you're probably going to lose if it unfolds like that.
Right.
If it's 40-20 in time of possession, you're going to lose that game 99 times out of 100.
Right.
Whether you come up with big red zone stops or not.
So, all right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. You guys had a busy show yesterday. A lot of calls.
Banging out the
phone
lines.
Now, were there new callers?
New callers.
You haven't heard
old
from?
Callers.
New, old, passion, no passion,
Anthony,
anger.
Anthony in Naples bringing the same passion he brought on Tuesday, on Wednesday again.
Is that right?
Yes.
Not backing down. No Trot Nixon there.
And you know, this talk about Bill Belichick, it's rampant right now in Patriots Nation.
It's amazing how many people want him out.
It's on the, well.
Of personnel.
Most of the people want to get him help. They want, you know, someone to help him pick the players. But Paul made a point yesterday on the Felger and the Mass show where he said, look, you can't take one out. At the end of the day, even if you bring in Kevin Colbert, Bill Belichick's still going to have final say.
But you're not even going to be able to bring in Kevin Colbert. Whoever you bring in, he will bring in.
That's the larger point.
That's the issue.
And this was our show yesterday.
If he picks help, he's picked Nick Caserio to be his help now. He picked Scott Pioli to be his help then. If you say Nick Caserio can't do it, he's going to pick the help. So the person is always under and beholden to him.
It used to be the way I understood it, and from talking to Pioli a little bit about this, was when they used to go in with their chest held high, and if one of them, if they had a disagreement on a player, they generally agreed to walk away. If they weren't in lockstep on a, you know, if one guy liked them, the other guy didn't, generally they walked away.
Right.
I'm not sure that they do that anymore. I'm not sure that there is someone strong enough. I don't know if Nick Caserio is strong enough to say, Bill, I don't like that player. Or if they do say it, Bill still picks the guy because Bill's in charge and he doesn't feel like, okay, we disagree here, we're going to walk away. Bill's still picking that guy, according to Michael Holly's book there. The what's it called, The War Room?
But see,
something like
one,
that.
One of the things, though, is, you know, I think people have this impression of, you know, where Bill just doesn't listen to anyone. And I don't think he's that dumb. I think he does listen to people. I don't think he's stubborn. I think that we've seen that, you know, all these people that say he just does this, he doesn't.
Well, that's, yeah, you're right.
He doesn't. And that's a sign that he is adaptable and he does look at situations and he tries to adapt to it and change. I just think maybe he needs better people around him, even if he still has the final say.
But we don't know the details.
We don't. We have no idea.
Because if it's true, the scouts say he ignores what we're telling him and picks his guy, as has been accused
right.
for various players and issues in the draft.
In some cases, that might be.
But if that's true, that is being stubborn.
We don't know if they wanted, I know they didn't, but let's just say Matthews. They all said, Clay Matthews is the guy we need. Then he has the right help because they were right. And I'm just using this
right.
as an example.
We don't know.
If
right.
they wanted the right guy and he picked the wrong guy, then it's not the help that's broken, it's his listening
but,
to the help.
But I know I make fun of it, and I'm joking a lot, but some of these bad picks did happen when... No, I'm serious.
Oh, no, absolutely,
it's not
Frank.
Like,
this
oh,
is
ever
not...
since Scott left,
right.
it's gone to hell.
You're
some
absolutely
of the bad
right,
picks happened
right.
when he was here. And I'm not saying that's because of Scott Pioli. I'm just saying that it's something
I'll
else.
I'll tell you what I think happens
it's
more...
It's something else.
What I think happens more frequently, and this is what I think is one of the things that annoys... average fan, and it annoys me a little bit too. I'm not gonna be one of those frauds that say people are saying, but I think more so now, the last couple of drafts since Pioli's been gone, there's been a real concerted effort to trade down out of the first round for future. And listen, on the surface, individually, they're all excellent trades. Andy talked about the Ingram deal yesterday.
Right.
Trading that 28 pick for a first rounder, that's an excellent trade.
It's just who you pick.
To get a second round pick, and right. then that's fine.
Right.
But if you consistently move down, you are lessening your chances of getting a quality player. I don't care how many different ways you want to talk to me about the word value. And remind me and Andy to tell you about a great phone call we had yesterday about the word value.
Tremendous.
Okay. But no matter how many times you want to define that, it's easier to get value players the earlier you pick. And I think we intentionally make it difficult on ourselves by moving down all the time. You know, that's one of those, every draft you can bank on, you're going to move down. And lately, we're moving down in the first round. And I don't think you have to do that. I mean, when was the last time we didn't move a first round pick down?
No, it's again, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, going, it does make it harder because the odds of getting a quality player, the higher up you are, the more players you have to choose from.
Right. And that's where I could see if like Andy's scenario, if with the scouts, if there's a little bit of frustration on the part of the personnel department because they're doing all this work and they're doing all this preparation and they feel like they're pretty confident in what they've evaluated. And then all of a sudden, well, it comes to our turn at 28 and we're moving down. Well, I had this guy at 28, Bill. I really like this guy.
Well, but see, but here's the one thing that I think, you know, Bill's tried to explain that we kind of forget. At that 28 slot, they've got a handful of players that they all think is worth taking at 28. And if it's five players and I move down five spots and pick up more picks, I'll still get one of those guys.
But they're operating under the assumption that there's five players and
yeah,
you're moving
I
down
am.
Five spots.
And I think that's why they, when they trade down, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that. I have no way of knowing that. How do I know that?
I think they've said that. You know,
they've said that we had five different players that we were going to take at 28, so we knew one of them was going to be there.
When
show me that quote, because I've never seen that.
At the different spots, we have certain guys that are in that that we think are worth that spot.
According to
and if we but think you we don't can, know if those guys are available when they end up picking.
No, but if there's five guys,
they're not
going
to tell
you down five spots automatically.
But
one
they've
of,
never told you how many guys they were but, thinking but of picking.
And they always tell us that the guy we wanted was available.
Exactly.
When we traded
much
down.
Like you say all the time, every team says that.
Yeah.
But, like Rasai Dowling, I mean, you can say I was going to take him at 28 and he was there at 33. That doesn't mean it was the right evaluation.
But I think that's why they do it. I don't think it's just to trade down to get more picks. I think they trade down because they think they can get that value six slots later
or
seven slots later.
You're just missing Andy's scenario about the scouts being perhaps in this hypothetical, being upset.
But no.
Because they don't agree with the evaluation of Rasai Dowling.
But you're still taking the scouts' value that they said, okay,
no,
these
you're
guys
not, you're,
are worth
you're missing
take-
it. Bill is going away from what the scouts have evaluated,
no.
According to Michael Hawley.
I know, but according to what I've heard Bill say in the past, you know, the
he's not. You think Bill's going to come out and tell you?
No,
I'm not
I
making,
ignore
I,
my I, scouts and do whatever the hell I want.
I want to be adamant about this. Andy and I aren't making this up. This is something that has been written in a book.
No, I understand that.
That is coming out.
The value created at the 28 spot, let's say, includes X amount of players. Okay, that value came from the scouts. Bill's trusting the value that the scouts created.
But if you're listening to the scout side of it, it's different than that. That's all I'm saying.
I got to read this thing. What is this, one guy that left here? I don't know. Who's saying this?
I don't know.
Who's saying it? I don't
scouts.
Know. Was it a guy that was fired?
I told you a story.
I don't know.
I told you a story about Rasai Dowling specifically.
Right. But who's
those
saying
guys are
it?
All still here.
I don't know that. Do you?
Yes, for a fact. I know that for a fact.
I have no idea who comes and goes in that scouting department. It's walled off here like it's Wall Street and, you know, we're the SEC. We can't get in there. You know?
Are you hearing this crackling?
And I don't mean the Southern.
There is a little. Yeah, I know you do. We're talking about the Southeastern Conference.
Right, right. But you know what I mean? So I don't, maybe.
And I'm not talking about the Southeastern Conference.
You know, maybe.
No, it's all Pac-12 nowadays.
Right. Maybe what Holly wrote, I have to read that for myself. But
well, it hasn't
I do
come out
know
yet.
That
it hasn't, the book hasn't come out yet. Okay.
I do
been
know
excellent.
That when they trade down, they feel that they could get the same value from that group of players
they,
that
they
are, my scouting
they
department
feel
gave
that.
Me. Right.
They feel that, but are they right?
I don't know.
Isn't he the king of all things are never equal?
But the problem
except for when we get the guy that we wanted all along.
Here's my bottom line.
Could you really say five guys are all the same?
No.
No, you couldn't.
Well, here's my bottom line. I have no problem. I have no problem with that maneuverings and all that, as long as when you pick the guy. He's a good, you know, he can play.
But it hasn't been.
Well, that's the problem.
See,
it's not the issue of moving down. It's when they get that pick.
But maybe it is the issue.
Right, but
maybe
right,
they would have
this?
Picked a better guy had they stayed put, the guy they liked better, and they settled for
they
number
five. Well,
they are lying.
How about this?
I don't know.
How about this? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because he just blindly accepts everything that is said all of a sudden. Fred Kirsch, among more than anybody, has taught me. You gotta read between the lines. You gotta listen to what they're not saying. You gotta try to interpret. And all of a sudden, everything,
right.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
it's like Eric's at a party and he talks to eight girls and the first seven shoot him down.
No.
And the eighth he sticks with, he goes, well, I thought you were the hottest girl here all night.
But
you're not gonna tell her, I swung out with the first seven and I settled for you.
We get your point.
But let me give you a hypothetical.
I'm coupling it with the fact that I don't think Belichick's an idiot.
What?
I don't think he's that stubborn.
Very smart people can be wrong on specific decisions.
No, and obviously every draft department swings and misses.
Right.
But, you know, we're talking about thing that they do.
But we're not talking about a swing and a miss. We're talking about you have your evaluations from your personnel department and you're going off that board. You're going away from that on your feeling.
Right. I'm saying that he could be right.
I'm sure he's done that and been right, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. This is not about being right and wrong.
But it kind of is. I'm saying that they don't disregard the scouting evaluation.
I'm not saying they totally do it, but this book is asserting that they have.
Okay, I got to see this.
Michael Hawley is in there.
I know. I got to see this.
And
though.
Isn't that flawed?
You're spending millions
of dollars.
I'll go back to when Parcells was here and they picked Terry Glenn and Parcells, you know, was pissed off and, you know, at the owner. And the owner told him and said, look, I'm spending $2 million a year on a scouting department. If you're not going to listen to them, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, that was that case. That was what we were told happened with the Terry Glenn pick.
And you bought that, but you're being told that happened now and you're not buying
it. No, I'm buying the fact that I think he does listen to his scouting department.
Right. So I'm saying you're being told the opposite, but you're not buying
it
now.
I think to the point where he's that confident in their evaluations that I can risk moving down and still get one of the guys that they said was worth where I was going to pick.
Okay,
originally.
But you made a comment a little bit earlier, and I want to make a hypothetical for you. You said, I don't mind if they move down as long as that guy they pick turned out to be a good player.
Yeah.
Well,
especially when it's in the top of the second
well,
round.
What happens if you do this? Yeah. What happens if I'm just going to use hypothetical players, not from specific drafts, not the same year or anything like that. But let's say you're at 28 and you decide to move down to 35. And at 28, Jared Allen gets taken. Or DeMarcus Ware. Okay? And you move down to 35 and you end up getting, I don't know, Sean Merriman. Good player, but not DeMarcus Ware.
But I guess Sean Merriman and another pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who would you rather have? Because I'll take DeMarcus Ware, and you could take the two
picks.
Well,
yeah, but you're also talking about a guy who...
But you're saying as long as you get a good player with that pick, you don't care. But you could have got a great player.
But and you're talking about a great player in DeMarcus Ware.
But that's what I'm saying. When you move down, you lessen the chances of getting a great player.
But you also have a less chance of getting a great player at 28 than in the top five. Bill Belichick on the radio talking specifically about DeMarcus Ware and saying, you know, look, we weren't in position to get him.
I knew I should have just said player A and player B. I'm not talking about a specific player
of his caliber. Usually
you can get at 28.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
And it doesn't matter if you can get a player that's that good.
Sometimes.
My point is, if you get a player at 28, chances are he's going to be better than the guy at 35.
Chances are, but not all.
You have a better chance of getting a good player.
When you get down
lower, the higher
you
pick.
When you get down lower, that pool of players that are about the same gets bigger. When you get higher, I agree. If you're moving out of the top five or even the top 10, you are really risking what you're saying. That, hey, you're more guaranteed to get a player of a high caliber.
If we can't operate under the premise that the higher you pick, the better chances you have of getting a good player, then that's it.
Would you also agree that the lower you get in the draft, that pool of players that are about the same get bigger?
Yeah, and I'm guessing that the higher you pick, the better chance you have of getting a good player.
At what level, though?
Every level.
Oh.
If I'm picking in the sixth round, my chances are of being a better player than the seventh round.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, if I...
really?
Again, I go back to trusting my scouting department, and if they tell me these bunch of guys are all about the same, but there's somebody that's willing to trade down for me, I'm going to trade down because I trust my scouting department.
Again, I'm not criticizing all the individual trades because virtually every one of them has been a very solid trade in and of itself.
Right?
Wouldn't you say that,
Andy?
The pick
that stinks.
It's because when you put yourself in a situation where I'm moving my pick back, chances are I'm not going to be able to get a good player.
Again,
I'd rather have one first-round pick than four second-round picks the way we had 3 years ago?
And it all depends on who they would have picked with that original pick. You know, they could, you know, if their scouting department is not giving them good evaluation, they're not going to make a good pick no matter what.
And then how many times have they blown a top 10 pick?
Now we're talking top 10.
Never.
Never.
How many times have they blown a top 20 pick?
How many times have they had a top
Never.
10 pick?
How many times have they blown a pick 20 to 30? Couple times.
Okay.
How many times have they blown a pick 30 to 40? A bunch of times.
All right.
How many times have they blown a pick 50 to 60?
Right.
More than they've blown 30 to 40.
And it's harder to pick a good player 30 to 40 than in the top 10.
My point is, because there's more good players available the higher you are.
How many times have they had a top 10 pick?
Twice, and they've never missed.
Twice.
But how many times have they?
And they've never missed.
And I think if they had a top 10
and
pick, if DeMarcus Ware was available, they wouldn't have traded
they've
down.
They've never missed
they
from 10 to 20.
DeMarcus Ware.
But my
they've
point is, they don't
the
miss
time
from 10
from
and 20
to 30. They've missed two-thirds of the time from 30 to 40. They miss more often where they like to collect picks.
I think that, again, it comes down to, you know, when you're consistently picking that low, they think, and it's probably based on the evaluations that the scouting department is giving them, that there's a handful of guys that are all we rate the same. And if I can deal down, pick up an extra pick, and still get one of those guys, why not do it?
I just think that's so contradictory philosophy. To what Bill tells us. Bill says things are never the same. There's never equal. That's so contradictory to everything that Bill says every day.
That's his explanation for it.
I've never heard him say that we had five guys in mind at 28 and we knew we were
value.
And we were going to, we knew.
I never heard him say that. Okay, tell the value story.
Ugh, the value story was great. A guy called yesterday and was saying, that the Patriots have completely ruined the word value for him. He looks at that as a negative term now. If you were going to buy a house and his real estate broker told him this is a great value.
It was Dan with the service dog, right?
Yeah. Dan and Harriet.
If this house is a great value, he immediately says,
would run out the door.
Yeah, he would immediately run out the door because he envisioned all, you know, seven rooms all in disrepair and, you know, all kinds of problems.
He'd have to get rid of it in 2 years and abandon it.
Yeah, it would just be crumbling at the foundation because that's what he thinks of the word. Right. He had it much more articulately than I just did. But
right. Fred's just going to blow it off because it doesn't fall in line with the Patriot way. It was a good story.
And again,
it's accurate.
And I want to reiterate, I'm not killing every trade that Belichick has made in the draft because I think there's been a lot of really good ones. I just think that when you go back and you look and you say, why is the defense, just to bring this full circle, why is the defense the target of a guy like Hines Ward saying, I could have played, but I didn't feel they needed me against that secondary? The reason is because instead of taking consistent picks and from 15 to 30, you decide it would be better to go from 30 to 45.
But it's also
that's why.
I would say it's more free agency.
Why? How many guys in the secondary have we drafted in the top two rounds?
No, but I'm just saying they've struck out and trying to buy guys for the secondary.
They've never tried to buy guys.
The one guy they bought in the secondary in the last 3 years at least had a good year, Bodden.
Well, what about Sean Springs and all these guys that they brought in?
Those are Jags.
That was a one-year rental.
Build around those, and I think they're signing those because the guys they drafted sucked.
Yeah, yeah. If Wheatley and Butler, and Will Wheatley Height and Butler and all these guys, they would never – and I understand that Sean Springs came before those guys chronologically, but they would never have to go out and get veteran cornerbacks to play one season if their draft picks had panned out.
And they've never tried to buy, quote-unquote, like –
No, I'm not saying
Lee Bodden, they came in and he had a good year for them.
And he signed a 1 year deal. He didn't even want the 2 year deal. It was like 1 year, no money.
All right.
Now Lee Bodden has then gotten paid and flamed out. All right, for whatever reason.
I'm sure now we're going to get a bunch of calls of people who, you know, being the winningest team over the last decade isn't good enough for them. So now we're
that's how I ended up my Felger in the Maz show yesterday.
So you know, Paul, I think this show going to make people think even more about yesterday's show.
Yeah, you're bringing it down today, Freddie.
Why?
Bringing it down.
You just are.
We had moved on from Pittsburgh.
We had people feeling good.
We
by
went
the
to
second
the, we went
hour,
to the Giants
people
yesterday.
Were feeling good.
Even the nitwit in the booth is nodding his head. Annie and I moved on to the Giants yesterday, and we were talking about how we were going to beat the Giants. And we come in, Andy and I come out of the locker room, and what are you talking about? Hines Ward.
Right.
Well, we're talking about the Giants. We're looking ahead. We've turned the page. We're cranky. Like Tom Brady said, we're all pissed off. We're moving on.
The theme of the week is we're mad, right? Am I right?
Right.
Yeah, we're mad, which is good.
Maybe.
You know?
That got a mad, sucky defense.
That got them another half point in Vegas. Oh, they're mad. 8.5. 8.5. So... All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The ace ticket hotline is 508-298-0398. Let's jump into the fray. Tim in Kansas City's on the line. Hey, Tim.
Timmy.
Hey, guys. Andy, what's going on?
Not much. How
the
you
other
doing?
One that always has a problem with Andy, right?
I think Andy's a fraud, but,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. No, you said it right. You did it good.
There's no thinking there.
This was the thing. Yesterday, you've got James, the most interesting guy on the phone. And if you could have got off your knees long enough to say some of what you said today to him yesterday, then you wouldn't be fraudulent. I mean,
what did I say yesterday?
What did we say yesterday?
Well, he's saying yesterday, you know, that people are getting too engrossed in the problems on the individual basis and saying that, you know, when they picked Rozai Dowling, that he would have picked somebody else. But the reality is that second guessing goes on all the time. And at some point, when we pick up all these extra picks, you cash it in at some point, right? I mean, every year at the draft, we look at it and they say they've got these two first. They could go up and get so and so,
and they never
do. Right.
And they trade down and they trade into the next round. But you could.
Right.
So what are you talking about?
I get those things just really frustrate me. And then when you look at this year, my concern for this year is not so much can we beat the Giants. I mean, I think Eli Manning's as much of a joke as anybody else. But you got to be worried that it seems like the way that we're getting beat. You know, other teams get beat. They had a bad game. It seems like with us, There's a model that's going on. You jam Welker at the line, we can't win. You know, you run your frickin' tight end up the middle 8 times in a row, we can't win. And that seems to be, those are the things that are going to go on.
Well, it happened once so far this year.
What? I think the Bills had a very similar game plan. And the problem is,
To say that Dallas didn't have success with that game plan is
no, but the
because
Patriots
the Patriots won
in
the last play of the game.
The Bills threw it over the top of their head.
That's the problem right there. It's just bottom line. Yep, they won. Who cares? So we ignored the problem. And well, then next week,
every
we lost
team has problems. You overcome those.
Or you don't.
But right. We don't
and
have
they
the
have
it
once.
Even I mean, you and I have the same opinion, I think, of Asante Samuel. But the problem is that, you know, which isn't very high, but when you get rid of him and you choose not to re-sign him, you got to have at least another option that's similar in the you know in the background, and we have nothing.
Sure,
that's you know there's a recipe there for disaster. So when you're looking at it, whether they're depending too much on Bill saying no to his staff of you know recruiters, or if it's those guys just doing you know a bad job, yeah, 14-2 is fantastic. We all love winning, but if we can't win in January, what's the point? Yeah, I live in Kansas City, and they suck every year, but they managed to make the playoffs one year, and people out here throw a freaking party. But the problem in the end is you're
right.
Forcing your draft.
And the opposite is here. You know, you're 14-2, but you get bounced on the playoffs, and the end. It's the end of the world. Our expectations are different. You lose
what
to
would
Pittsburgh.
You rather have?
I absolutely would rather have it this year, but we do need to come be a little bit realistic. I mean, they lost to Pittsburgh, and it's all of a sudden, oh, my God.
But
you know, Pittsburgh had to dominate us to beat us by 8 points.
To me, this is if you think this is about Pittsburgh, you haven't been paying attention for the last 2.5 years.
No, I understand it, but again, the Patriots' problem is glaring because
they can beat the Little Sisters of the Poor.
We know that. The Jets are the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, and when did they and how what happened in January?
I'm just talking about this year, Paul. Forget about that.
Okay.
This year.
All right.
They beat the Jets.
As I just said, if you think it's just about the Pittsburgh game, you haven't paid attention the last 2.5 years. There's a pattern that's established. There's a pattern that's been established since 2008. They can score the ball against most teams, but against the a physical type defense that Tim just described, they struggle and the defense can't win the game.
I guarantee if the Patriots had somehow come back and won that game, people would still say, you know, the passing defense sucks, but they won the game, and that's all that counts.
You would be saying
you would be.
Because you think that was a close game. And you think Pittsburgh played great.
Last year,
I would say even though the Patriots sucked, they still won.
Right. And
that's what I would say.
And Pittsburgh would be saying, even though we dominated the time of possession, we killed ourselves
right.
with stupid mistakes.
And they would say the better
and
team
that's the only
win.
Reason why
like
they
say every time they lose to the Patriots.
And that's the only reason why the game was close, is because Pittsburgh didn't play that good.
Oh. The Patriots played great.
The Patriots were terrible. The Patriots were terrible.
You're in the playoffs, and you said about the Jets, well, they're the only team that could do that. You
exactly.
That caliber of team. But it seems like there's an awful lot of teams that have that caliber now.
Well, that's a good point. That is a good
regressed,
point.
Or they've gotten that much better.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of teams. Like, you know, like I said, they've lost two games. So
the majority of playoff caliber teams can do that.
Well, we'll see.
Right.
We'll see. You know.
Guys. I appreciate what you guys do, and at some point here in the future, I'll be buying lunch.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
All right, see you, fraud.
It's in Kansas City. I hope it's ribs.
Nice.
Kansas City ribs, right?
I still didn't understand why I was a fraud.
Just because.
I think that we had
a
hard
time.
Well,
no, I'm okay with that. Yeah. But then he tried to specify it, and
it was something
really
about
it.
What James's call, and I think we were having a hard time really understanding exactly.
Oh, there
if
was
you
a
recall.
Full sentence I couldn't understand from
yeah,
James.
Yeah, I think we might have let some stuff go yesterday.
And by the way, I need to defend your power ranking because I was reading some of the comments.
I don't need my daddy to come in and
people,
defend for me. I can defend myself.
The Hart Wilson. I think people are.
Now you'll need to defend yourself against Wilson.
People are forgetting. What they're doing is they're thinking about all the other power rankings that they read, and they're saying they're comparing yours to that. When you read the Hart Wilson rankings, you have to throw out your concept of what a power ranking is. This is different. This isn't like, oh, this team beat that team, so that this team must be better. It's not that. It's
your entire body of work
right.
as a football team, both sides of the ball, how you perform in the most important categories, which generally equate to winning and losing football
over
games.
The long term,
yes.
too, not just
let me
next
ask you,
week.
Let me ask you,
like
this.
For example,
right.
everybody wants the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, they just beat the Patriots.
Right.
Maybe they should
automatically be higher.
Well,
right.
they're worst in the NFL in turnover ratio. If you do that, like you've done for the first 6 weeks or 7 weeks. Through the full, you are not going to be as good a football team as you can be.
Right.
I believe that in my heart. You can't go minus 10, minus 12, minus 14 and be great.
And that's just an example.
That's
it's
just
not based on that.
No.
No,
yeah.
but there's a lot of different things right. like that. And I think that's a good example because I'll guarantee you this. Right now, Pittsburgh is 6-2. The Patriots are 5-2. And I'll guarantee you, most Patriots fans, vast majority of them would say, Pittsburgh deserves to be ranked ahead of the Patriots. But in 2 weeks, after the Patriots beat the Giants, and who knows, maybe they beat the Jets too. And maybe even Pittsburgh wins the two games. I'll guarantee you that everybody will say, Patriots had a bad game
right?
that day.
Exactly.
They should be ranked ahead of the Steelers.
You mean everybody or this guy?
They should be ranked ahead of the Steelers. And then what happened when Pittsburgh and Baltimore played the first time? Baltimore dominated them. So does that mean that we should have Baltimore ahead of the Patriots right now? Because Baltimore dominated Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh dominated the Patriots.
Right.
I'll guarantee you there's not very many Patriots fans right now that don't think they're better than Baltimore.
And the other aspect of it is, I don't understand how you can have a one-dimensional football team, only one side of the ball is good, and expect to be highly ranked.
Well, that's my thing I said to you in the locker room today, Fred. Don't you think a lot of people, and myself included, by the way, this was my Around the NFL 2 weeks ago, Baltimore's offense is just too inconsistent to me to ever be a Super Bowl contender. Until they fix that, until Joe Flacco can be a 65% passer instead of a 55% passer, I don't think they can win the Super Bowl. I don't think they have enough offense on a consistent basis to win the Super Bowl, right? Is that fair?
Okay.
Is that fair? I mean, is that an unfair thing?
Yeah.
I think a lot of Patriots fans would agree with that. But I also don't think right now, based on what I've seen halfway through the season, the Patriots have enough defense to win a Super Bowl.
Certainly Patriots, the way the offense is playing, you're right.
Patriots fans would attack me. If I said that.
No.
They just can't win the Super Bowl?
Well, then that's
not crazy?
If that's not fair, because I think if you're if even I, the ultimate homer, they have to do something. If they play the way they're playing now, they can't win.
Right.
Against a good, you know, so, but I hold out hope that they can improve.
They can improve.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that, but I don't really think there's much, I don't think they have much personnel that's going to get any better. You know, I think that there's a better chance that, you know, the one area that you guys agreed on was the pass rush. I think there's a better chance that's going to get worse.
Well,
because I think those guys are old. I think they're going to slow down as the season goes on, as the snaps pile up. I think there's a better chance that those guys slow down in December and January than they do catch fire.
You guys, you know.
That's when Cunningham will be active.
What?
Maybe.
Now, it's you know, people say about this team so far this year that they started out the season playing a lot of man-to-man, and then they switch back to, you know, more of a zone coverage type of defense. Did that happen, if it's true, did that happen after the Buffalo game when they were just burned so much?
I think it was the Oakland. Was it Oakland they started playing zone, second half of the Oakland game?
Sounds right.
I think the second half of the Oakland game they kind of started playing some more zone.
Is that right?
I'd have to go back and look, but okay. That makes sense to me.
I'm just wondering, you know, you know, going to zone, sort of a knee-jerk reaction, and maybe they should try the man-to-man again.
You know? If it stays this bad, they will.
Yeah.
They will try things, you know, week to week.
Right.
Based on matchups, based on their own weaknesses
and
inabilities, a lot of it. I mean, you can't just be as bad as they've been and just, I'm just going to keep doing it, because sooner or later it might get better.
I mean,
he'll try things. But I don't usually agree with Michael Felger. I think he's right, and this is personnel-related. People are looking at these people in the face of, you cut Sanders, you cut Merriweather, now you cut Lee Bodden, who theoretically everybody thought were three of your top defensive backs, and now you're taking the field with Sergio Brown and Antoine Molden. Who the bleep are these guys? I mean, what are you doing? I think that's the reason for no hope, because people see this cast-off personnel, you know, guys that were not good enough to be in San Francisco or good enough to be in Tampa, are now good enough and better than the guys you invested money and draft picks in.
That would be fascinating to someday find out what was going on there.
With Bodden.
And with James Sanders.
Yeah, that's the worst one. I said this yesterday all day. You can't tell me you didn't know you were going to cut Merriweather or might cut Merriweather when you cut Sanders. And I don't know why you had to cut both.
Right.
I still don't get it. I'll never understand it until Bill, you know, gets drunk and tells me.
And he's going to do the sit down with Andy and Paul. When he writes that book, he's going to sit down with Andy and Paul.
I think he ever gets drunk?
Oh yeah,
like fall down stupid drunk.
Well, I don't know. When was the last time you got fall down stupid drunk?
That's a good question. With me, it's usually more throw up stupid drunk. But
yeah, I don't know if I've ever been fall down stupid drunk.
I vomited before.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Long time.
College.
And I'm sure that it's been a long time for him too.
Just one quick thing to Tim. If you buy us lunch every Thursday, we'll get down on our knees and give you a little more respect too.
What?
He accused me of get off my knees with James. The man invested something in this show. He's our benefactor.
He's basically the owner of the show.
Exactly.
He's like we're Alabama and he's the booster club.
Right.
You know? Right. That has some sway.
I'm Cam Newton, and he's the guy paying me.
All right. Let's take a break. It's 12:45. We got a lot of emails coming in. We got callers holding on. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault. It's
you. That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
I know how you feel now, Fred. I sat in that chair yesterday. Every time I started a sentence, Paul would interrupt me. I'd try to give the number, Paul would talk. I'd try to give the email, Paul would talk. Every freaking sentence.
There you go. Tom in Bedford says, I just wanted to say that the first half-hour discussion was a great reenactment of a theoretical draft room discussion. Fred is playing the part of Belichick in that he just won't listen to what Paul and Andy are saying. Fred will just do what he does. Paul and Andy just walk away from the disagreement.
So. That's good. That's what we meant to do. It was intentional.
Let's see. Oh, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Hi, my Belgian-French friend.
First of all, I want to congratulate both Paul and Andy for a fantastic show yesterday. Probably one of the best I've been able to participate on. So good job, guys, yesterday.
Thank you.
And for once, no one hung up on me when I was saying something, so I really appreciate it.
That's because I was at the controls yesterday.
Yes, exactly. You had the magic seat. I could realize that you were making more sense, you were much more formal, and you were a leader yesterday because you were probably having Fred's seat. And then the other thing I have to say is that, you know, when Fred did the drafting of talented and famous and promising sports journalists, and he went down the draft and he traded down and down, and then he finally picked the two of you, Paul and Andy, I think he got great value.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thanks,
anyway,
Olivier.
Eric's no Brady, though. He was our last pick, and he didn't get the job.
Well, and that's what happened. When Bill first started doing it, he was hitting. No, but Eric, now, as the more it's gone along.
Eric was a street free agent.
So. Yes, I understand. He's a mix of a veteran and a rookie.
He's a Jag.
Okay, fine. So I understand that people are angry at the team, you know, and they're going to use that anger to deliver a fantastic performance on Sunday. But, you know, we always have said we never lose at home. We never lose after a bye week. And we never lose two games in a row. Do you guys think that we are in the season to break those streaks and to maybe be in for a surprise because our defense is going to be exposed again against a team that picked us apart back in the infamous game in 2007. What do you guys think about it?
Well, I don't know about picked us apart. I'm not sure that was exactly an offensive shootout. I think there's a chance. I think this defense is bad enough that there's a chance in any week.
I'm very scared about it.
You can give up 300 yards and big plays and points. Bradshaw's out, so that certainly hurts the Giants. Nix didn't practice today, so he's at least going to be hobbled a little bit. That hurts the Giants. But I don't think it really matters. Eli Manning's a pretty good quarterback. He's going to have some receivers on the field, and those receivers are probably going to be open. So,
and what about for us? Do we have any major injuries that would placate us from being successful against these guys?
Welker did not practice yesterday. We'll get today's practice report.
He had a neck injury.
Yeah, he had a neck injury, and I urge people to go see the PFW blog, our PFW cover from this week, and I'm guessing that's where his neck got injured, courtesy of Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. I thought there was a foul. I thought he grabbed his face mask to do that, didn't he?
He didn't grab his face mask. There was no, in our opinion, specific foul or penalty. It's my old, and we've talked about it. If you think it was unnecessary, throw the flag and call unnecessary roughness. Just call it.
Yeah, I agree.
But
what is this with him jumping on people? That's what, I mean, The only difference between what he did with Gronkowski and Welker is Welker was shorter, but he like dives on people. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I hate when like big fat men jump on small men. Andy, do you feel targeted?
That just sounds funny.
Yeah, I don't know what happened a lot.
Every time Paul jumps on me, I
Fred, you got to stop using the word dominating when you say Roethlisberger dominated Brady. It gives really bad vision in my mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
The dominatrix.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys.
All right, Olivier.
And have a great day.
Thanks for calling.
Fred, did you know he's not French? He speaks French. He's Belgian and Italian.
Italian.
Oh, okay.
And lives in America.
Connor writes in. He goes, love
not,
the show.
Not fascinated at all, I see.
Want your opinion. Here's
Connor
a
from
possible...
Rentham?
No.
Is this the guy that emailed in the TV show?
No. He says, here's a possible scenario for later in the season. The Patriots beat the Jets next time they play them. And going into week 17, the Pats and Bills have the same record with the Jets only one game back. In this scenario, the Jets hold the tiebreaker versus the Bills. Going into week 17, do you A, throw the Bills game to keep the Jets out of the playoffs but give up the number 2 seed in doing so, or B, beat the Bills and keep the number 2 seed but let the Jets into the playoffs? I want the playoff picture to stay the same as it is now with the Pats playing the Texans in the wild card, then the Bills, and then the Steelers, assuming they beat either Kansas City or the Bengals. Is it just me, or is the AFC weak?
I agree with that.
The NFC is the
No, I don't think
conference.
You ever give up that number
but,
two seed.
Yeah, that's not even
I also don't
even
think with
issue.
This team you throw games or – I think this team needs to be playing as well as it possibly can at the right time. It's not good enough to coast or take any week off.
Yeah, but I do agree with the larger point. The AFC, to me, is wide, wide open. I don't I would certainly not feel great about facing virtually any team in a playoff game, you know, but – there's no one that scares you at all.
Abe writes in, you know, back to our personnel discussion. I think Bill is always trying to get a player that he doesn't have to pay much money to. Has he ever paid a lot for a top draft choice? Well, they're all slotted, so where you pick them is what you're paying. Again, I think that if they were in the top 10, they'd pick a guy from the top 10. And, you know, I'll also say that with that Raiders pick that they got, if the Raiders hadn't finished 8-8, and they had finished like 2-14, I think you would have seen the Patriots move up, you know, because that value of that pick would have been.
Well, you might not have had to.
They might not have had to, exactly. You know, and they would have used it.
Maybe.
You know?
I think the emailer's point was that they moved down. They know, I mean, I think we all know that the draft picks, the salaries are slotted, but they moved down to try to pay
But
less.
I don't think they refuse to move up because they don't want to spend the money. I don't think that has to do anything with it. I really don't.
If that's a question, as Bill would say to us, that's a question better for Bill. I mean, I don't know what his rationale is.
Brian in Baltimore. So my wife and I are coming up this weekend from Baltimore for a football weekend. Starting off, we're going to the UNH game for their game against James Madison on Saturday. They might see Paul there. And then heading back down to Foxborough for the Patriots-Giants game Sunday. My wife's dad is a UNH football alum. And played for them in the late 70s, and is a huge Giants fan. We got him an authentic Mark Bavaro jersey for his birthday last year. Should he be worried if he wears his jersey this weekend for the game?
No.
He'll be surrounded by friendly Pats fans, but how bad of a reception
there'll
should
be a lot
we expect
of Giants.
For him once we get in the stadium?
I would guess there'll be a lot of Giants.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a tough ticket to get.
I'll be crawling up into the stands.
Also, are you guys familiar with any UNH area bar restaurants that might be good to go to?
UNH
if not, it's cool.
Yeah, UNH is not that close to here. Just, you know, I'm not sure if they...
Paul has to snap at him.
No, I'm not snapping at all. Do you know of any UNH bars?
I've never been to UNH.
I mean, I've been there, but I couldn't tell you what
the bars are. Oh, I was quite sure you had.
But I couldn't tell you what the bars are. I mean, I haven't been partying at UNH.
I have been in the last couple of years, and they all stink.
Larry writes in...
Now, that would qualify as snapping. Just to, you know... correct you over there, big head.
Larry writes in, Andy did not read many emails yesterday.
Because I had 7,000 phone calls.
Oh, we had a ton of phone calls.
It's the same people on the phone all the time. 20 to 30 people call all the time. Wasn't that the same with all talk radio?
20 to 30 people.
That's a
lot of calls for our show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always the same. I'd never heard of the guy from Canada, no offense, Prince Island or whatever. Never heard of Jerry out in California, some guy that was in Salt Lake.
One guy said it was his first time he ever called.
Long time, first time.
Yemi from Texas, is the Patriots
offense... Did that guy just email just to complain about me not reading emails?
Yes.
Who was that?
I forget.
You are oversensitive.
So, but am I just supposed to ignore the phone calls?
They do on talk radio, right? I don't know.
No, they just blow them off. Right. They, you know, if you do it like Felger, you let him come on, you give your mission statement in a sentence, and then he just drops you.
And you can call whoever you are that complained about... Feel free to call 508-298-0398.
508-298-0398.
Yeah.
Did I interrupt you in the middle of butchering that?
I wasn't sure the number, and I can't see it from here. So.
You also unsure of the pronunciation of eight?
I don't know. What did I say?
I don't know. It just sounded funny.
Yeah, you were a little jumbled there.
And
dropping your soda.
Now he's dropping things.
Yemi from Texas.
Was capped.
Is the Patriots offense overrated? Is the QB overrated? Maybe that incomplete long pass intended for Price is an example of a play that a more mobile quarterback makes. Paul needs to go back to thinking Welker is not that good. I think the defenses have caught
up. Andy and Fred have been making fun of me about that.
Luckily, of the last 2 weeks, he's not that good.
I think the defenses have caught up with our two tight end offense. They are now putting one of their top two corners on Welker. With Hernandez limping through games, we must decide whether getting Welker going and having two tight ends on the field. I say Welker is the engine of our passing offense, so take out a tight end, bring in a wide receiver, and put Welker back in the slot where he belongs.
Welker's been in the slot, right?
I guess.
Welker's been in the slot.
Yeah. Tiffin, Wisconsin says, is there a reason why Mayo isn't being used the way T-Sizzle is being used in the Ravens defense? Aren't both defenses running a 4-3? Why don't our guys look like the Ravens on defense?
T-Sizzle is one of the best pass rushers as an outside linebacker defensive end in the NFL. Totally different player, totally different position, totally different everything. No offense, Tiff.
Let's see. RJ...
I mean, T-Sizzle in this defense would be Andre Carter. That's the comparison. Except Andre Carter is older and not as good.
And may not have the guys around him like Ray Lewis and...
Haloti Ngata.
Yeah.
The Ravens are still pretty good defensively.
They've
turned over a lot of that personnel, but they're still pretty good. Mm-hmm. They have different guys making some plays now. Jarrett Johnson is a guy that's sort of been emerging for them a little bit. The kid that I really liked, McClain, the linebacker, McClain.
And again, much like the Jets with Revis, when you have a guy in the backfield that a quarterback always has to know where he is, it takes away something from his decision making. You know, even Brady says, "I always have to know where Ed Reed is on every play." You know, that split second takes away from something else you might want to do.
Or just that fear of that area of the field.
Right. RJ in East Lansing. And we thought...
Apparently it's Paul's microphone that crackles. When he moves it, it goes crackle, crackle,
yeah,
crackle.
Yeah, it could be the connection. RJ in East Lansing, Michigan. With the Pats secondary looking so bad this year, he used another word, do we start over from scratch next year or develop the players we have already? Either way looks bad to me unless we sign a solid free agent. Not sure who is going to be on the market, but there has to be better players available. Also, if the girl accusing Edelman is ugly, does that make it not as bad? No, actually.
It makes it worse.
Yeah. Kidding, but really. Also, I thought I trusted Belichick in the fullest with his decisions, but with the moves he has made this year, the Pats have to be thinking about getting him some kind of help with a respected front office person.
Well, he is the Pats when you talk about football decisions, as we've said a million times. Mr. Kraft is not chopping him off at the knees. That's not going to happen. And the second thing is, they're going to develop McCourty and Chung. There's no doubt in my mind those two guys are going to develop. And maybe Kyle Arrington. But you don't have enough guys to develop. You have to bring other people in either through the draft or free agency. You don't have... I mean, ideally you want two starting safeties and a legit backup safety. Right now you have one starting safety. And ideally you want at least three corners. Right now you have no corners who are playing well, really.
James Pettigrew, simple question. What would you want? one great player or two good players? I think that gets down to it. And obviously the answer is one great player, right?
No, but what they've ended up with is not the great player or good players.
Right.
Guys they cut in 2 years.
Right.
I would take the one great player, and if I collect a couple of those, then I'll go to my theory of I'll take the two good players once I have the great players. Like, offensively, I'd probably say, give me the two good players, because I have greatness in Gronkowski, I have greatness in Brady, greatness in Mankin, so my groupings have guys that are great. Defensively, give me the damn great player, because I need somebody to impact a game.
Well, then you can do what we just talked about with the Ravens, because they have Terrell Suggs, and they have Ray Lewis, and they have Ed Reed, and they have Haloti Ngata. Great players. Now, maybe some of them are a little bit old now, but four great players. So now Jarrett Johnson, who, if you put him on the Patriots, might be more of a bust than Adalys Thomas was.
Right.
But in that system, in that scheme, with those players around him, he's good. So now you can supplement with a couple of other good players, and all of a sudden, you got a great defense.
And we get back to our great players haven't played great.
Well, that's
Mayo, Will Fork, and McCourty, the three great ones. They're supposed to be great.
Another thing I've been on Fred's bandwagon all year, if McCourty was playing the way we thought he was going to play, I think a lot of stuff would look a lot different.
I think if Mayo was playing the way I thought he was going to play.
Well, yeah.
By the way,
another excellent
Pro Football
point.
Focus, they redid the 2008 draft, and when they got to the Mayo slot, they very harshly criticized Mayo. They think he has, first of all, in terms of his tackle numbers, the most gift-giving home PR stat crew or whatever in the league in terms of giving him extra tackles. Quote, if he's near a pile, he gets a tackle. But also that if you think he's a great player, you don't watch what great linebackers are. He doesn't make plays like other linebackers do, great linebackers. So they basically regurgitated what we've said on this show for damn near 3 years.
What you have said.
But just because...
And Paul, too.
Well, I've said the same thing. But just because...
You continue to tell us about the great plays he makes that somehow don't show up anywhere.
I'm not going to be a fraud, though, and all of a sudden jump on board a Pro Football Focus. I don't like their evaluations. And just because this one happens to agree with something that I think doesn't mean it makes it right.
Paul's still mad at him. I don't know why.
I'm not mad. I thought that guy was very nice. I'm not mad at him at all.
You got something against the Brits.
That guy that came on this show that we met in Buffalo was an excellent... That guy was an excellent guest. What's his name? Neil?
And Bob?
Neil, right? Neil.
And Bob.
He takes Neil and he somehow gets all disgusting.
It's because I watched South Park last night and the entire show was about BJ's and not the wholesaler, the
BJ Raji?
Box store, not BJ Raji. I don't even feel comfortable saying the word that they said. So, I said 50 and Chris Ferreira goes, oh no, it had to be closer to 100 that they said that word during the show.
Wow. Keith writes in, do you think the Patriot way is responsible for the continued failure of the defense? Let me explain. Bill Belichick gets rid of players who do not fall in line with his scheme and defends players who suck but follow the scheme. I think that philosophy takes away from the player's nature, natural ability to make plays. Devin McCourty was a pretty good player last year, and now he is 2 years into the system and he sucks. I think Asante Samuel fought against Belichick's scheme, but Belichick had no leg to stand on, because it resulted into game-changing plays, and when Samuel dropped that pass in the Super Bowl, that gave Bill a chance to get rid of him.
That and the fact that he was a free agent.
The bottom line is there's no room in this defense to make instinctual plays on defense, and that shows up on tape and makes the players look foolish. With this logic, you can't draft value picks. You have to draft players who are athletic, similar to Darrelle Revis, Julius Peppers, and DeMarcus Ware.
What do you think of this?
I think they'd be better if they had those three guys.
But go back to the very beginning. I think he takes it a little bit to an extreme, but what do you think of the very beginning of that email where he's talking about maybe there's too much structure in the system? Because we've heard some of the defensive backs, and not all of them am I on board with, but we've heard some defensive backs sort of talk about that a little bit. That if they come in and they're sort of operating by instinct, and then all of a sudden – they feel like they get a little bit of their athleticism taken away from them because they're thinking too much.
Well,
excuse? Is that an excuse on their part?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Well, and, that's fair.
You know, but you get back to
I think Ty Law freelanced. I think Rodney Harrison freelanced. But that's Teddy Bruschke
freelanced.
That's
really that good. But that's right.
But the emailer is saying
I don't
those
think the
guys
issue
got
for
away
Darius
with it.
Butler or Terrence Wheatley? I'm sorry. Did I see them go somewhere and be allowed to be creative and now they're great players?
No.
They're Jags where they are now.
See, now you're doing exactly what the emailer did at the end of his email and he took it too far. You don't think there's anything to the possibility that these guys come in, like Devin McCourty, playing at a certain level and they regress because maybe they feel like they're stunted a little bit?
No.
Just he was overrated last year.
Or he's underrated right now.
You mean he's actually playing better than we think right now?
No, but he's going through a slump. He's not playing well. It doesn't mean he sucks. Doesn't mean last year wasn't reality either.
Oh.
In reality, it's probably somewhere between the two. He's probably not as good as he looked last year or as bad as he looks now.
I don't know why, but that kind of reminded me something that Belichick said. I'm not sure it was Monday.
Well, that depends.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was Monday or Tuesday, but in the press conference, you know, they were talking about the secondary, and he goes, you know, that would, you know, I think somebody actually pointed out a specific play, Tom Curran.
This was yesterday.
Yeah,
that
yesterday.
Was yesterday.
And he said, well, you know, that's probably wasn't played the way it should have been or as well as it could have been, but that wasn't the biggest problem.
Against what Pittsburgh.
Down the list of problems, yeah, he said, was the quarterback.
What do you think Bill Belichick thought was the worst problem on Sunday?
Well, he said it. He said between the numbers.
Between the numbers. Safeties and corner. Safeties and linebackers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was clear, though.
And he benched
the tight end had a ridiculous game, especially early, and all those long third downs were in cuts in the middle of the field.
Was that? Do you think that's communication, though?
I think it's a lack of talent.
That's what I think. But you mentioned Heath Miller. That's another thing, you know, like that kind of annoyed me yesterday. We had a couple of people talking about Miller caught like, was it five passes on the first drive? Six passes the first two drives, and I think he only had like one or two the rest
of
the way.
Seven, I think he finished.
And they said they made the adjustment, put Ninkovic up there to bang him at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and then they started hitting Wallace.
And they took him out of the game. I mean, when you just continue to complete every pass, I don't care who catches them. You know, you didn't take anything out of the game.
Right.
When it's 36 for 50.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's
30 other passes were complete.
Yeah, and I read a lot of tweets about this stuff. Like Greg Bedard does a lot of that post-game analysis, and he talked about how Ben missed Heath Miller wide open a couple of times. He completed the passes elsewhere.
And Miller dropped one.
And thought there could have been a bigger play. Yeah, that would have been a touchdown if he had caught that, by the way. That's one of the things that, like, you know, the Antonio Gates thing that really annoyed me. When one guy doesn't catch a pass, it doesn't necessarily mean that you were successful in taking that guy out of the game. Unless, you know, it results in, well, they had a terrible day passing and you took their biggest threat out of the game. Now that's taking a guy out of the game. But when you throw for 360 yards and complete 36 passes, you didn't do much to stop them.
James in the UK was thinking about a possible solution for the Belichick GM problem. I don't want to take away his picking power. What I want is for Robert to talk to Bill and say, you are still in control, but I'm adding someone you can't fire. That this individual is there to be a little devil on the shoulder of Belichick, asking those annoying little questions that the yes men who are currently there clearly can't or aren't.
No.
He would be saying stuff like, really? Are you going to cut James Sanders when you're planning on cutting Merriweather? Really, you want to draft a walking ambulance that is Dowling? So where is the pass rush going to come from this season? The professional a-hole,
Andy,
I would call him.
Can it be Andy?
Should be annoying, but know what he's talking about. Oh, that rules you out, Andy.
Oh, suck it.
But he does
check
say,
my draft record
I
out.
Recommend Andy for this position.
You check my draft record. I have more hits than misses. Fact. Fact.
You don't.
Fact. I think I sound perfect for that job. I don't think Bill would ever accept it. I'd hold the job for a day, Bill would quit, and then I'd be out of work. But that's a great job for me. I'm an a-hole.
Let's see.
Just so you know, that never happened to me yesterday where there was like this long pause.
Paul writes in, do you think the Patriots would continue to trade down if they didn't have Brady? If they only had an average quarterback, wouldn't they be forced to trade up?
Well, yeah, the new coach would trade up.
And I'm not necessarily advocating, by the way, trading up.
I am. I advocated it
Quinn. No, well, this particular year, you're two spots away from Quinn?
No.
Three? 14.
12 to 17.
I thought it was 14.
I don't know.
You're right, Paul. Jeez.
I'll be okay. You want to call the priest?
I think Paul has consumption.
Consumption?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
What is
it's
that?
Like an old word for, like,
I don't know.
The croup? You got the croup?
The grip?
That's what my kids get.
But if that's bad, I got it.
You got the HIVA? The HIVA?
Let's see. 508-298-0398.
Cold in here, is it me?
The Ace Ticket Hotline. It's a little chilly.
I'm like, I keep getting a chill up my back like there's a draft coming in.
Well, we're saving up for the free agent market.
It is very cold in here.
My nipples are hard.
Because I was sick.
Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred.
Tim.
Yeah?
Hey, it's an honor to speak with you again.
Thank you.
I just had, I've been in class all week writing papers and stuff, so I haven't had a chance to call in, but I just have a couple of things to say about the current makeup of my team, of the team, and possible solutions that I just want to run past you guys right quick.
Good. Go.
First, I remember a couple of weeks ago, one of you said that, you know, as long as everyone could stay healthy, you'd be happy with the Branch, Welker, two slot guys and two tight end offense, and thought that could, I don't think you guys said it'd get us to the Super Bowl, but I think one of you guys said that you'd be happy with that.
Yep.
The problem is that that offense works excellent in the in the regular season. I commented with a lot of people, and a lot of people like, well, yeah, but most teams can't, you know, stop that kind of offense, and, you know, we don't necessarily need a deep threat. The problem is when you get to the playoffs, you're facing a different caliber of teams, and they will. And so if you have this short to intermediate passing game with no deep threat whatsoever, then you're severely limiting yourself. It'd be one thing if you would have the 0-4 defense. With this kind of defense that we have now, though, I don't think we should be tailoring an 0-4 offense, but more like an 0-7. One year, we gave Brady a slew of weapons. We went out there and spent like Jerry Jones himself and surrounded himself with all these weapons and say, go get him and look at the results of it.
What's that? You didn't win the Super Bowl, though.
Huh?
The result was you had an offense that wasn't good enough in the Super Bowl, and you didn't win the Super Bowl.
No, the offense was fine. The offensive line broke down in the Super Bowl, just like the offensive line broke down with our O-4.
And this is one of those things where I go, I channel my inner Fred. The offense in 2007 was good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Except in the Super Bowl.
I don't care. Even in the Super Bowl game itself, they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. They went down the field when they had to and went ahead with 2 minutes left. The defense blew it.
They did. I
have a hard time.
I think the offense was good enough to win the Super Bowl last year. It just didn't. It was good enough to win a playoff game. It just didn't.
Right.
Because
the offense was fine last year, except when it wasn't. Just like the offense was record-setting in the Super Bowl.
But I think in the Super Bowl it was good enough to win that game. The Patriots offense in the Jets game wasn't good enough.
You're the greatest offense ever, and you scored 14 points against a Jag defense that played great that day. I'm not taking it away from them, but it wasn't the greatest defense ever.
It's one of those you go strict by the result. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They went 18-1. Okay, I can't argue with it. I mean, that's the facts. That's what happened. My personal opinion, from what I saw, that offense was unstoppable, and they scored enough points in that game to win. They did. The defense took the field twice with the lead in the fourth quarter with the other team inside its 20 and allowed the team to go 80-plus yards twice.
Who changed on Super Bowl Sunday? The offense.
I don't care. They had enough points to win. When they were losing in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left, they went 85 yards and scored a touchdown. They were unstoppable when they needed to be.
I don't understand how you can argue right now.
I don't understand how
you're more
argue
concerned
that. You think the
about
offense,
the offense now because the defense has sucked all year.
I think there's a pattern that's been established with this particular offense that there's a defensive style that can stop them. There was no pattern that was established in 2007 that I saw that could stop that offense.
Here's the thing, though.
I don't understand how you score four. You're the greatest offense ever. And you scored 14 points, and it was your defense's fault you lost.
I'm not going
because they gave up 17 on a fluke play.
I'm not going off of specific point totals. I'm talking about the style of offense in a game.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the game itself.
You had one game where that offense was not like it was. I have a million games I could point to that this offense has, even some that they've scored points in.
But we're talking about why you didn't win the Super Bowl.
Because the defense couldn't stop the other team twice with a lead in the fourth quarter.
Okay. How about the offense couldn't score enough points to win?
Yeah, no, you could have covered up your bad defense like you did all year.
Right.
By scoring
offense
80 points.
The defense showed up just like it had the previous 18 weeks.
All right, so this year it would be the offense's fault if the defense gives up 30 points because the defense always gives up 30
yes,
points?
Yes, because the defense sucks.
Okay.
So if you think you're going to win this year, how are you going to win?
If they lose 31-30, is it the offense's fault?
Or this year?
Yeah.
No, then you're just not good enough.
Okay.
But how are you going to win this year?
I just want to get the classifications
right. How are you
going to
win this year?
You're going to try to outscore teams.
Exactly.
That's the same thing you did in 07.
Right. And you successfully did it 18 times,
right,
and then the offense fell short.
San Diego Chargers had one of the most high-powered offenses back in Air Coryell. I don't think they were blaming the fact that they never won a Super Bowl on the offense. But they lost games. It's the defense.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
You can't score 30 points every game.
Okay, now it's a philosophical thing. You don't want the best offense, you want the best defense.
Oh, God. Well, yes, if you could choose.
Because I will go to my grave on that day.
Oh, yeah.
The side of the ball that didn't live up to themselves was the offense.
If I had to choose, I'd always take the best defense over the best offense.
Okay.
But that's, you know.
I'm not sure I would.
But I'll also take a mediocre defense in the best offense.
That one I would
take. Okay.
You know?
Green Bay.
But here's
I'll take the best offense with a good enough defense.
Right.
As opposed to the greatest defense with a mediocre offense.
Right.
Well, I would take the greatest and a mediocre of either.
Okay, I would take a seven. No. I'll take the best special teams, a mediocre offense.
We don't have that right now either.
A pretty good defense.
Because we can't execute an onside kick and we can't return the ball past the 20.
Tim, you got anything else?
Yes. Just really quickly, and then I'll let you guys go. I think on the off season, here's what we should focus on. And there's two receivers that I think we possibly can get, maybe one of them. The thing is that DeSean Jackson, Eagles will be looking.
Tim, have you given up on this season?
Huh?
That's
what I was thinking.
Have you given up on this season?
They're 5-2. It's week 9.
I think. Here's what I think. I think once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. I don't think it's very likely we can win a Super Bowl with a short to intermediate passing game with a terrible defense, but I hold out hope for the best.
Okay.
But really quickly, what I suggest is just going out, maybe getting a DeSean Jackson. Hey, they have Jeremy Maclin. Offer Andy Reid one of our first. Maybe they can do it if they want to get cheap over there.
We have the obligatory trade we have to do with the Eagles every year, so
well,
you never know.
And
he owes us one based on that one.
Right.
Yes, and then also, as far as defense, I say work out your offensive problems in free agency. When it comes time for the draft, I don't want to hear the word value. Okay? You see a great player, you trade up to get him. I'm tired of getting Jags on defense because they were projected to go three spots above. Get the best player, and preferably someone who isn't injury prone. And that's how I would rebuild the team. Well, I got to get back to writing this.
All right, Tim. Thanks for calling. Tim's got it all figured out in Pensacola.
I like it. Clark got fined $15,000 for that.
Good
on the side. He deserved it.
Should have been thrown out of the game.
I think it was on Gronk.
It was terrible.
Right? Yeah. On Gronk, right?
Should have been 2 15-yard penalties.
It was terrible.
He hit a guy with his head out of bounds. There's two fouls there.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you can only call one.
And he did what Merriweather did in the middle of the field. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
It was a headbutt.
Gave him a headbutt. Right.
Total cheap shot.
But worse, because it was out of bounds,
right.
too.
Yeah. Right.
Total cheap shot.
Ozzy, I'm Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan, is this a conference call?
How's it going, guys?
Where's Harriet?
She's sleeping in her bed right now.
Dan, real quick, can you give us the value summation that you gave Andy and I yesterday for Fred?
Oh, the value summation? Yeah, I thought you guys might like that. What was it about
the house?
If I was getting shown a house and the realtor say, yeah, well, you know, good price, good location, it's pretty good value. The house is probably breaking down, and in 2 years I'll just abandon it so that I can get a house that's been foreclosed a couple times.
Fred doesn't like it. Fred doesn't care.
Yeah,
it's not funny.
I just don't think
it's not
that,
nice.
You know, they're picking these guys thinking, you know, in 2 years, we're going to have to get rid of them.
No, but the reality is, in 2 years, they have to get rid of them.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what happened.
I know, but that's not what they go in thinking. You're talking about going both eyes open and I'll pick the value house that I know I'm going to have. That's not what, you know, they think
he's
that
saying
these guys are going to work out.
He didn't see the mold in the walls and he didn't see the pipes that were ready to go and he didn't see the furnace.
Then you have to look at your inspector, and in this case, your scouting department.
Or Bill Belichick, the guy who picks him.
Or the guy
Why
who's
is it
actually
never
making
Bill's
the call.
It's always Bill's credit, but never Bill's fault. Is that how it works around here?
Yes.
I just want to get it on the record.
That's exactly how it works.
Thank you.
Fine, I got another
even though the house inspector said, you know what? I don't like what I'm seeing with this termite damage here, and the guy who bought the house bought it anyway.
All right, Michael.
No, then I'm just going to go for a reject house. Like, I'm just going to abandon it so I can live in something crappier.
Antoine Mulder.
Houston didn't want. But, I got another example for you then if you don't like that one. Belichick is kind of like a guy down the hall, like in your dormitory, that says, oh, I'm smarter than everybody. I'm getting the discount drugs. Yeah, I can spend, like, the same amount of money and get twice as much. Well, maybe there's a reason why you're getting so much more, because it takes twice as long to get you high.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
just got a little window into Dan's life.
I love the analogies that Dan comes up with.
I'm not
insinuating
anything, but... No, but and then he decides, you know, okay, fine, I'm going to go back to the well. Now I'm going to try the good stuff. Well, by then, the good stuff's all dried up and useless. It can only give you 10 plays a game.
We're talking drugs or people?
Hainsworth.
The older guys, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was drugs we were talking about.
Well, but I want to tell you, you guys are talking about, like, is it the scheme or is it, you know, the players just can't do it? I don't think it matters. I mean, you have to make a decision, like, do I know my defense sucks? And in that situation, do I think they're capable of getting better or don't I? Like Rodney Harrison and Ty Law came out saying, you've got to, you know, loosen the chains a little bit and allow them to learn, understand you're going to give up some plays. And if you're not willing to do that, then you've got to make a change. And if you don't make that change in personnel, that's an indictment on you and your stubbornness in the draft, believing in your system. 25-something teams that take the talent when it's there can't be wrong all the time. I mean, look at the linebacking core. Vince Wilfork should not have more interceptions than your linebacking core as a unit this year. I mean, look, we've got an extremely poor man's Mike Vrabel and Rob Ninkovich, a wildly inconsistent run stuffer, a nice guy in Dane Fletcher, and the second coming of London Fletcher. I mean, what is this? This is ridiculous. I mean, yeah, okay, I go to Emerson, and I understand that
what
the only math we're really good at is calculating narcotics, but my math is good enough to know that
a lot of drug talk
one
today.
Thing done well is better than no things done well.
And Bill's theory is if you can only do one thing well, you better do it really well. So he likes the guys that can't do anything well.
It's 4 years now. It's 4 years. There's no defending it anymore. I mean, you cannot say that this pass defense is anywhere near championship caliber and pass a breathalyzer test.
Well, I don't. Is anyone saying that?
They might as well just throw out the breathalyzer test in New England. Stop somebody. Oh, sir, have you been drinking? No, officer, I have not. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the Patriots' pass defense? I don't know, 5 to 7? Step out of the car, please.
Step out of the car.
You've had a bit too much to drink, sir.
All right,
that's
then.
That's all I got, guys.
Thanks
nice
for the call. Say hello to Harriet.
You brought a lot. I think the Patriots may have got another bad break, by the way, that doesn't look like a bad break. But like we talked about last week with Hines Ward, we're better off if he played. And we said it before the game, by the way, not after. Andy, you just brought up the Bradshaw thing, you know, broken foot out indefinitely or whatever. That's a bad thing.
Because now they'll just throw it?
Yeah. That's going to just because they're not going to pound Brandon Jacobs all day.
Probably true.
They may have given Bradshaw more carries than they should have because sometimes teams have a hard time doing what Pittsburgh did.
Pittsburgh, right.
Pittsburgh just insisted, no matter what, we're going to throw it 3 out of every 4 plays, 4 out of every 5 plays. A lot of teams have a hard time with that because it runs counter to what you do on a normal basis.
A lot of coaches say, when you throw the ball, 3 things can happen and two of them are bad.
Right. Especially when Eli Manning's your quarterback.
And I think with Bradshaw out, Brandon Jacobs, they have to know they're not going to be able to pound away all day with Brandon Jacobs.
No.
With Bradshaw, they might have said, well, we could spread him out and see if we can gash him a little bit, you know, catch him. They're not going to do that with Jacobs because he's not that kind of a back. So it may be a bad thing that Bradshaw is not playing.
Andy writes in, I'm a UNH alumni class of 95, and the best places to go at UNH are in Portsmouth. Try the Portsmouth Brewery. They serve
I've been there.
Smutty Nose beer or Molly Malone's. There are a couple of bars on campuses, but they are just meat markets.
Well, I think that's what the guy's looking for, isn't it?
No, he's bringing his wife.
Oh. Then go to Portsmouth. Portsmouth's much nicer anyway.
Well, that just because he's bringing his wife, that may be what they're into. I don't know. I mean... There could be swingers.
Gotta give Paul's fighting through
nice.
A cold today, right? You're not feeling so well?
No. No, I'm all right, though.
You're right? You sound pretty bad.
Yeah.
What is that from?
Is that from me yesterday?
That's pretty funny.
Chris in Hereford, England. I hope everyone is well. First things first,
Paul's
I hope Kevin has got the value caller from yesterday on tape. It was pure radio gold.
Not according to Fred. Fred
Who was
doesn't...
that?
Dan.
Oh,
Dan. Harriet.
You really just don't listen
to
us.
Why are you so angry at Dan? Why'd you not...
Because he was negative.
Why'd you not pay that any respect, any credit? I thought it was good.
As for me, I'm finally able to listen live on a regular basis for the first time since the preseason. I have been maxed out at work, but tried to keep up to date as best I can. The question I have is one that I posed to Andy on Twitter just before the Patriots let go Lee Bodden. Do you think that Belichick will look at bringing back Asante Samuel in the offseason? Andy answered that he wouldn't rule it out at the time. I wonder if his opinion has changed since the cutting of Bodden. Also, would love to get Fred and Paul's view on this. Does the awful situation we find ourselves in at secondary now a more pressing need than outside linebacker? It's interesting. Now you have to think about it, right?
Before- well, The answer should be no, because you have McCourty.
Yeah.
You're young, developmental,
but now you have to think about
it. I think the linebacker situation is more dire.
Me too.
Their linebacker core is terrible.
And, I mean, I am comfortable starting McCourty and Chung, and even Arrington playing.
I have no problem with that. I know I'm higher on Arrington than you are, but...
You're higher on Arrington than Dan is.
Aaron writes in, first off, Fred, glad to have you back. I tried listening to yesterday's show twice, but the old married couple running the show just can't replace Jake Steele.
It was way better than this show. 1,000 times better than this show.
I think this has been a pretty good
show.
This
show's been terrible.
Now, here's three things that are still driving me crazy.
I think you're doing a great job, Fred.
Thank you. One, I'm glad that Kevin Fogg looks healthy, but I don't want to see him getting up to speed in a game where we need to line up and run it. The Pats need to run when they show run. Then the play action actually works. I hate these games where our running yardage comes out of shotgun draw plays.
Well, that's
in my opinion,
game.
That should have been Benny and Ridley with Falk on third down only. Where was Ridley in that game?
On the sideline.
When you don't run the ball out of regular formations that he just described, you're certainly not going to need two different running backs to do it.
To not run it out.
How many carries did Benny have? Five?
Yeah, 5 for 9 yards.
Something like that. I mean, you didn't need two different backs to share five carries.
The Pats defense needs to be in sync with what's happening to the offense. If the Steeler game plan is to have long, time-consuming drives, you got to change it up and shut down the short and intermediate stuff. Make them make plays, for God's sake. Shut down all the long stuff when the Pats have the lead and play these guys a bit more straight up when it's still a one-score game.
You're under the impression they can stop anybody through the air. Anywhere. Short, intermediate, long, middle, sideline.
Like, you know, you are operating under the premise that if they got a little bit more aggressive with the receivers, that Mike Wallace would have just run by them.
I don't have confidence for them to stop any receiver at any part of the field right now.
Okay.
Wait, do you disagree with
that? Is
that
not fair?
I don't.
Because I don't
think
we've seen them.
Aaron.
Haven't we seen them give up plays everywhere? Short, long, broken tackles, not broken tackles? They've given them all up.
Three, curse words. The Patriots' defense lets the Steelers keep the ball for 13 minutes of the first quarter, and the Kool-Aid drinkers get all upset when some fans are posting negative comments. To all of you idiots who sent Fred comments saying, there's four quarters in a game for a reason, stop being so negative, I say wake the F up and start watching the game. I'm as optimistic as they come, but I can't watch that first quarter and think that the Patriots are doing fine. It should be concerning that your team got four plays off over the first 15 minutes of the game. Doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win or loss, but it ain't freaking good. And you know what? This is four. Screw it. Here's one more thing. The defense is killing the progress of the offense. Yeah, I'm blaming them. Price and Ocho should be out on the field in the fourth quarter of games that the Pats have well in hand. But we don't ever have games well in hand. The offense can put up 30-plus points, but this god-awful defense keeps teams in the game till the end. These receivers got more game reps. They would be better off and would give Brady more reliable weapons. That's it for me. I feel better, and I'm ready for the Giants.
I just wanted to defend the curse word people. Aren't some of them not watching the game?
Some are.
Because, I mean, he said, open your eyes and watch the game. Yeah. Some of them aren't.
I'd say the majority probably are watching
it
now. Yeah.
How? We don't talk about it.
What do you mean? No, they watch on TV. They have their iPad or their computer open next to them.
Oh, I thought a lot of these people were global.
A lot are, but some, you know.
Aren't.
I'd say that most people are from either States.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting like 10,000 people a week on that, aren't we?
Yeah, I thought a lot of them were global.
A lot of
people that couldn't just sit down and watch the game.
Even the global people sometimes can watch because the BBC is covering it, or ESPN Europe.
The stream.
Let's see.
Okay, a lot of emails.
508-298-0398 is
the hotline.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Mark from Cheddar. Hey, guys, and Mrs. Draft. Where is Eric?
Where is Eric? I'm Mr. Draft.
That's Andy.
He's Mrs. Draft.
Oh, no, I think he was talking about you.
You're fat bastard. where is Eric, though? It's like almost time for picks.
Yeah.
It's funny because he's fat.
I'll read this email, and then we'll take a break. I have caught up with the podcast for Tuesday and Wednesday and would like to weigh in with some thoughts.
Oh, boy.
One, the defense. I want the Patriots to play a man press coverage maybe with only a single high safety. So what if they get beat deep? I see the positives. Either the Patriots stop them or they give up a big play, and either a touchdown or the other team soon gets into the red zone. The red zone defense has been pretty good so far, well, in comparison to the rest of it. Anyway, the advantages are obvious. It means the offense gets the ball back quicker and stops losing so much time. Otherwise, we get what happened on defense against the Steelers. 7 minutes gone and the same result. That might not be a bad thing. Just put them right in the red zone and we'll play from there. If they score, great. If we keep them to three, we get the ball back quicker. I like it. Two, the other way to play defense is if they gut on the program. Two,
Belichick. What?
This is, I guess he's leading up to that. The other way to play defense is if they, quote, gut on the program.
Steroids?
I think that's what he means by quotes. Two, Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, about his personnel advisors. Well, as we all know from training camp each year, there is the fourth string quarterback, Nick Caserio. But the one that he actually respects and takes advice from is Ernie Adams. This explains why his drafting has been so bad recently. Ernie Adams is a Jets fan. I didn't know that.
I didn't either, just like I didn't know that Andrew Lloyd Webber was a Patriots fan.
All right, well, it's going to take a break. We have the picks
coming
up.
Wait a minute, just one quick. You think some of those people in that locker room aren't, quote, on the program?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
I think probably half of them are.
Okay, and that person doesn't, though, Mark and Cheddar.
I don't know.
Because he thinks they'll be better on defense. Well, I think they're on the program and they're not good.
I think he was just kind of making a joke, no?
Yeah. He didn't end it with sarcastic, Mark.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's take a break. Maybe by the time we get back, Eric will be by and we'll do the picks.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress. Eric's here.
Ready?
Eric, what's going on outside on the practice field?
Some good news for those of you who are Wes Welker fans. He was back out there.
So Paul doesn't care.
Such a douche. Full pads, Freddie?
Full pads.
That's the seventh one in these first, what are we, 9 weeks in now?
They were allowed 11.
Allowed 11 in the first 11. Beautiful day out there, though.
Beautiful day.
Didn't want to come back inside.
Oh. We didn't want
to. Okay. I know you didn't want me either, so
Eric's like,
you
can
guys.
We do the radio show outside today?
Like in college.
Right. So that's really it. Kind of a nothing
still
really.
Still no Jack Jersey. Back. No What's Fletcher? That?
No Fletcher.
Haynesworth out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still knocking some rust off?
Tried to get a look at Taylor Price.
Ocho out there?
Haynesworth, by the way, not on the injury report.
Randy Moss
yesterday.
Out there?
No. Okay. No Randy Moss, but... just trying to get a look at Tom
Foolery is more important than actual, you know.
Is Kevin Turner out there?
At Taylor Price, because he was a big topic of conversation. I know Paul's going to try to do a story on him this week. And
well, that's another thing.
To wait till everybody
Taylor Price, you know, obviously we've been talking about it for a few weeks now. But nationally, they're starting to pick up on, you know.
There's another receiver on the roster.
They've got this guy, Taylor Price. Yeah. Maybe we'll see more of him.
Maybe they're in the sports exchange.
But he's still, you know, if you read into such things, you know how they do the passing lines, and obviously the bigger name guys go in the front, lesser name guys go in the back, and he's still at the very
he was
back of the line.
Ross Ventrone, and he's like, wait, you're not even a receiver.
Yeah. I'm surprised Brady even lets him go through the line.
It's true, he won't throw it to him even if he does get to the.
You
front.
Mentioned Haynesworth, Freddie. He was off the injury report altogether yesterday.
Right. He had been limited with a back. Yeah,
just
he's just staring
pay,
into space.
Pay
I think,
but, to anything.
But he does need to get
I'm
his body.
Feeling
all
right?
What's going on here?
Is still good looking or not?
She never was.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
People really liked her.
I agree with
Andy. I agree with Andy.
Never
too.
Did a thing for me.
Okay.
And why is she doing? What is she? What is the commercial for?
She's really hit rock bottom. She's doing some
like a
sucking blank for
you think?
Blank.
You liked her? No.
All right.
There you go.
All right. So that's it. All right. So let's get into this week's. Around the NFL picks. Paul, what happened last week?
All right.
No music to lead us in this time.
Fred and I won.
On the Facebook.
Fred and I won the week, but it was pretty even. Fred and I won the week at 9-4. Andy and Eric went 8-5. With the spread, Andy and I won the week at 6-7.
Andy won a week.
Yeah, blind nut gets a squirrel
Still
every now and then.
Andy, under 500.
Eric went 5 both weeks. He used the Wilson Hart Index. Consistency using the index. Consistency.
Eric went 5-8, and Fred went 4-9.
Ooh, you took it up the tailpipe.
So the season standings are as follows: Eric and Fred are tied at the top.
Damn it,
80-36. I am next at 78-38, and Andy is 73-43. With the spread.
I'm coming, baby.
Eric maintains the lead with the spread, 57-55-4.
Oh, the irony.
Fred, 54-58-4. Paul, 50-62-4. I'm sorry, Paul and Andy, 50-62-4. You and I stayed the same from last week.
We're
both
tied?
6-7, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So that is the standings.
So I'm not in last. I'm tied for third.
You're tied for last with me.
No, I'm tied for third, which
well,
is last.
I'm tied for last.
Oh. No, but last be fourth. We're
all right,
tied
you
for
can
third.
Stop the music now. Okay.
right. He says right when the music is supposed to stop.
This first one's a game that we'll all be interested in. Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
The Jets at Buffalo.
Bills by 1.5.
No. Wrong.
Wrong answer.
Yeah, it is the wrong answer. I'm going to take the fourth-ranked team in the Hart-Wilson Power Index over the ninth-ranked team and go with the home Buffalo Bills.
You still just go making all your picks that way?
Hell yeah.
Every single one. Okay, week. All right, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure.
What?
It's
what?
Not an excuse because that's the track record that he's had has always been to be last in these picks contest.
No, I always win it. I always win it.
Yeah.
And I'm promoting proper.
You've never won it.
Yes, I have.
No, you have.
Check. Go back. Check his notebook.
Anyway. I'm going with, I believe in Fitzy at home over the inconsistent New York Jets, so I'll take the Bills both ways. They're going to win this game by 10 points, Fred.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am going to give the Bills the slight edge playing at home. I think the it's a tough call. It's a tough game.
Well.
Tough game. I'm going to go with the Bills, but... I'm not feeling great about it. I'm going to go with the home team, strictly the home team.
It's definitely getting to the point where I need to start rooting against the Bills. But this week.
That was the second week. That was right after.
Yeah.
Remember he said, it's okay because I like the Bills. And I'm kind of rooting for them. And a week later, right, he was like, it was good to see the Bills lose.
You said that up in the press box a couple of weeks ago, actually.
I said, boy, if the Bills had won this game, I'd really start hating them. Mm. And they lost.
They lost to the Giants game, right?
Something like that. I don't know.
I'm still rooting for them.
But I'm rooting for the Bills this week to beat the Jets. I just want, the Jets had this confidence that they got last week that,
they're nipping at your heels, too.
They shouldn't have. They still suck. And now I guess Joe Namath is just out and out calling Rex Ryan fat.
Yes.
It's becoming more and more personal by the day.
Yeah. Although, I want to kiss you.
Is Joe
Thanks,
Joe.
Yeah.
He's like 5'2".
Did you say shrinking or drinking?
I think he's shrinking.
Well, he's... That happens to
Pretty sure he's drinking.
Grammy Hart went from like my height to like 4'11". I mean, she lost a good 6 inches.
Is that right? Okay.
What are you laughing at in there? Wow. Get your mind out of the gutter.
I'm just laughing.
This better not be a joke about Grammy Hart.
I think
it
was laughing at Grammy Hart. Look, yes, he was.
I'm just laughing at anything. She's 5'5".
I think in 10 years, Joe Namath is just going to be a nose that talks.
Kind of like Eric.
All right, Seattle at Dallas, Sunday 1 o'clock.
Dallas by 11 and a half.
How about them Cowboys?
Dallas. Largest spread of the week.
You got that queued up in there?
Seattle at Dallas. Andy?
Despite the fact that they're one of the larger fallers in the poll this week, dropping to number 20, they're still well ahead of the Seattle Seahawks, so I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you. I have to basically shout it through the mic for him to hear it. They're the better team. Seattle is woeful. And... even though,
that just went right down my spine.
That's a Seahawk, I think. I don't really like the Cowboys, but I'll take them over a really weak Seattle team and the points.
I agree wholeheartedly with Eric. I don't really like the Cowboys, but Seattle's just so bad.
Yep.
And 11.5. This is the kind of game that Dallas wins by 100 points, and all the national guys said, the Cowboys are back, baby.
Right.
No, I'll take the Cowboys to win, but not cover.
Oh.
All right, Sunday at 1, Cleveland at Houston. Cleveland at Houston.
Cleveland at Houston, second largest spread of the week. Texans by 11.
I'll take the Texans to win because they are the number 5 ranked team in the Hart-Wilson Index. And I'll take them to cover, I guess. Andre Johnson not playing, though, again?
I don't know. Think so, but I don't know that for sure.
Definitely take the Texans to win. Ooh, that's a tough number, Paul. But I'll lay the points. Yeah, they'll win by more than 11.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points, too. Cleveland's defense has played pretty well, but I just don't think they can score enough. And I think Houston will eventually pull away, maybe with a cheap cover like last week.
That's fine. We'll take it.
I'll go with Houston as well and to cover. Atlanta at Indy, Sunday at 1.
Ugh. Atlanta by 7.
Terrible.
I'll take Atlanta to win over the worst team in football.
Yeah, I will too by more than 7. Probably double.
Yeah, I'll lay the points as well. Indy looks like they've really just packed it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta, definitely. Miami at Kansas City, Sunday at 1.
Is that Kansas Ryan City Leaf? By 4.
Is Ryan Leaf now a commentator on SportsCenter.
Hi ho, Seattle at Arizona. I'm going
to
need from you.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off.
Didn't I already pick against Seattle?
It'd be awkward if you just started that.
St. Louis at Arizona. I'm going to need a number for that. But the next game is what?
Miami at Kansas City.
Looks a little like Will Ferrell.
Kansas City by four. Yes, he does look a little like Will Ferrell.
I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs to win and cover. They're a better football team.
I could actually hear Will Ferrell yelling like that, yeah. Knock it off. That kind of sounds like Will Ferrell, too. I'm going to take Kansas City at home, too. What was the number again, Paul?
Four.
Oh, easily.
I'm going to take Kansas City to win the game, but I will take Miami to lose by a field goal.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
You think rolling the dice.
Tough, huh?
I think Kansas City stinks.
All right. I'm going to take Kansas City and lay the number.
Good. It's the right call.
Tampa Bay at New Orleans, Sunday at 1.
Saints by 8, coming off a dismal defeat.
Yeah.
I will take the New Orleans Saints to win. They're the better all-around football team, and this catapults them into the top 10 of the Wilson Hart Power Rangers.
Yeah, I will definitely take the Saints again, too. They'll bounce back. They'll win this. Number again, Paul?
8.
You know what? Give me the Bucks with the number.
The Bucks suck.
They do, but for some reason, I don't trust the Saints, even at home.
Yeah, at some point, is anybody going to point out the fact that Drew Brees has more interceptions than anybody in football, going back to from start of last year to now?
Tries to do too much.
Why don't you do it, Paul?
New Orleans is going to blow them out because they lost to Tampa Bay 3 weeks ago, and they're going to remember that. So I'll take New Orleans.
They might remember, but it might not
New Orleans
help.
Both ways. All right, the final 1 o'clock game, not that it starts later, but...
It's right, on your list.
On my list.
Sure, we get it.
San Francisco 2 weeks at in a row with Washington. That joke. San Francisco at Washington.
San Fran by 3.5 on the road. Who'd thunk it?
I would, because the Wilson Hart Power Index, when you're tied for the number 2 slot overall, you're a pretty good football team, and you'll win this. So that's why I'll take the Niners.
They've actually done better coming cross-country than I thought they would.
Well, they get those picturesque walkthroughs in areas where Jim Harbaugh likes them.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll have this one in the shadow of the nation's capital. It might do them some good.
Get too close to the monument, though. It's cracked. It might fall
over. You're right. Now,
that is all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. Unlike the Liberty
Bell. The bell, yes.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's a bell.
I'll take the Niners, Paul, and lay the number. I'll take them to cover as well.
Yeah, I will, too. And if you recall last week, I said John Beck, NFL all quarterback.
Right.
And they got shut out by the worst defense in football. Well, second worst defense in football.
Isn't he the infamous?
Second worst.
Isn't he the double down arrow?
Absolutely.
Guy?
Absolutely.
One of the few. I think I've only given out like 2 in the history
of
my scouting.
Buffalo had fewer sacks than the Patriots going into last week.
Really? Double down arrow, I say, for really suck ass prospects. I don't know. He may be the only one that ever got a double down arrow.
It was unprecedented at the time. I do recall.
I had not yet known there was going to be a double down arrow till I watched his tape.
Right. So I'll take San Francisco as well.
He's getting worked up over it now.
Another trip east could be a warning sign, but
then somebody was dumb enough to draft him, and then another team was dumb enough to take him.
I'll take San Francisco despite Washington having an offensive genius as a head coach.
Is that a shot at Shanny?
What?
Who did you take?
You might say that.
You take New Orleans in that game?
Yes.
Now, he's friendly with your boy, Bill.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
That's a little overblown, I think.
Not sure that it's a Bon Jovi type friendship.
No.
It's not a bromance?
Yeah.
No.
Guys wanted us to have a bro down?
It was on South Park last night.
Oh.
They just circle each other with their arms and chest out. Yo, bro, go ahead, bro. And I said, you'd kill me because you grew up in Everett and probably invented it.
There's a lot of those in Everett where you just, circle around each other and call each other names.
That's what this was.
You know what I'll do to you? And then no one ever throws a punch.
But it was like Andrew Lloyd Webber versus somebody. It was some famous person in a bro
down. Imagine Pioli were in that.
He would just kill you. People He'd be out. Great sticking his chest out. Practices all day long every day.
Let's see, 405, Denver at Oakland.
What?
Denver at Oakland.
Oakland by 8.
Oh, I've got to find Oakland. Where's Oakland on this?
Denver at Oakland.
I really should have printed
He's looking this. At his Wilson Hart Power Index.
Yeah, we have to wait for you to do your Power Index. Eric, why don't you go while he...
I'll take the Raiders in this game. 8 points, though?
Easy now.
I don't know if I
want us to give you a minute.
No,
you need a napkin.
I'll take the Broncos with the points.
I can take my sock off.
You
want to borrow my
thanks.
Sock?
No thanks, bro.
It'll be warm too because it's been on my foot.
Bro, back off.
I'll take the Oakland Raiders.
Both ways.
What was the spread?
8.
Yes. Why is everybody yelling?
Paul.
I'm going to take Oakland as well. I'm a little reluctant because I know how Tebow likes to put up those fake
just
yards and points
8.
At the end of games, but I'm going to lay the 8 points anyway.
This is my upset of the week. Denver beats Oakland.
Oh, Tebow.
8.
It's very
nice.
Spread, Bill. That's right.
Did you notice that Fred was leading the picks contest right up until Tebow started playing, and he was giving us a win every week.
I said that Tebow would lose against the Lions. I got that one right.
That was big of you.
Who'd you pick?
Oakland. Denver, he took.
Yeah. No, I took Oakland.
He took Oakland.
I was asking Denver. Andy who he took.
A lot of point going on radio.
405, Cincinnati at Tennessee.
Tennessee by 3.
Cincinnati.
Eric, why don't you pick first?
Again, you can't find your things?
Cincinnati, they're number 8. I take Cincinnati.
Okay, I'll take the Titans. They're at home, and that's the edge that I'm giving them.
I hate Andy Dalton, but he's winning.
And, yeah, he can't win that many games in a row, so I'm going to go with the Titans.
He's on fire like his hair and his bush.
I take Cincinnati.
He's a religious guy?
I think
their defense,
in
the burning bush?
Their defense is pretty legit. They don't have a lot on offense, but their defense is legit.
I'm with Paul. I'm with Cincinnati on this.
Why did Cincinnati's defense just take a year off?
Maybe Ocho was because Carson Palmer decided to throw an interception every other play, and they were on the field too much and in bad spots. Maybe. Didn't watch them play every game, but just saying.
My Samoans are back to dominating, or Tongans.
We moved from 405.
I mean, that was a big part of the Patriots game that we saw on opening day when Palmer couldn't get out of his own way in the first half, if you recall.
You recall.
Okay, we're going to move from the 405 games to the slate of 415 games.
Okay, but are you going to skip over the one 415 game?
And then you wonder why. We run out of time.
St. Louis is at Arizona.
Oh, that's an ugly game.
Arizona by 2.
Jeez. Since he's looking, are you still looking?
I will take St. Louis. Is my guy coming back this week?
I don't know.
I haven't heard.
And this game was off the board.
But Feely was great last week. What do you care?
I don't want Feely to be great. I want my guy back.
I know you do, but
I hate Feely. I'm not a touchy-feely kind of guy. I will take Arizona,
me too.
I guess. They're very closely. They're a spot apart. If Bradford were playing, I'd take the Rams.
I think I might agree with that, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals because they're at home, and I think they win by a field goal. Ugly game. Could be like a Cleveland-Seattle last week, 9-6
Cleveland
or whatever,
steamer.
6-3. Whatever.
I'm going to take St. Louis because I think they're the better team, regardless of venue and regardless of quarterback.
Well, because they have Quinn.
Blocked the kick the other day, right?
Both NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Both teams
Robert
are struggling,
Quinn.
But I think this is going to be one of those years you're going to look back and you're going to look at that the beginning to the Rams' schedule and you're going to say, we should have envisioned that. They had a really, really tough schedule the first month and a half. And I think when all is said and done, they're going to end up with, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 wins before it's all over.
Yeah, I'm going to go with St. Louis as well. All right, kicking off at the same time will be Green Bay at San Diego.
It's an interesting game. Green Bay on the road by 5.5.
I'll take Green Bay to win and cover, tied for the second slot in the Wilson Hart Power Rankings. And I don't know how you can feel good if you're a Chargers fan or picking the Chargers.
I don't either. And you know what? This is probably the game that the Chargers are going to win knock off the Packers, but I'm not going to buy into it. I'm not going to buy into it. I'm going to go with the Packers to win and cover. I'm going to regret it.
Yeah,
so
I am too.
I have a feeling.
It's one of those things at this point you have to assume those turnovers are coming for San Diego. They're going to self-destruct because that's what they do. That's what they've done more often than not. As Fred said back in the week that they did it to the Patriots, that's what they do.
I'm going to take Green Bay, but I will take those points. Baltimore, this is Sunday night, 8:20 or abouts. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Steelers by 3.
I'm going to have to go with the Baltimore Ravens because they are the number 6 team in my power rankings and the Steelers are 12. And by rule, I have to take the higher team.
Well, I don't like the way the Ravens have been playing consistently lately. And I don't really like the Steelers overall in spite of what they did to New England last week. However, they seem to own the Ravens no matter where that game is played. So I'm going to take the Steelers at home to win and cover.
Yeah, I'll take Baltimore, too. I think they're just the flat-out better team, as they showed the first time these teams met in Baltimore. Wasn't even competitive. And I think this time next week, as I said at the beginning of the show, everybody's saying, why is the Patriots ranked behind Pittsburgh, who they shouldn't be? Pittsburgh's going to lose.
I agree with that. As Baltimore says, this game makes them piss hot. And did you hear that quote?
No. Who said that?
I think Suggs.
I know Suggs said that he owned Roethlisberger's ass or something like that, which I said, keep that stuff to yourself.
Right. I'll go with Baltimore in this game. All right.
Monday
night.
Yarmouth, which is pretty bad. He's going to be a bushy one.
Monday night.
I like that drop.
Bears, Chicago Eagles at Philadelphia.
Eagles by 8.
Eric, you should
don't look.
Go.
Don't look now, but I think the Eagles are starting to turn things around a little bit.
I'm just making a run.
So I'm and the Bears with Cutler, I never know what to believe with that team. Sometimes they look like they're world beaters. Other times they look like they can't get out of their own way. I'll go with the Eagles because they're at home. What's the number again? I'm sorry.
8.
I'll go with the Eagles.
I'll go with the Bears with the number.
I'll do the same exact thing because these two teams are one slot apart, and I'll take the home team. But they'll keep it close.
I do think the Eagles are getting it together a little bit. I think that they're working on that defense. It's hard to adapt to an offensive line coach's philosophies on defense, but that's what they're trying to do.
That's why Jarrett Page isn't playing. But I mean, he's got an O-line coach telling him how to play.
It's starting to come. It's starting to come. So I think the Eagles are going to blow him out.
You think they're going to blow them out?
For the second consecutive primetime blowout at home.
I will say that Philly wins, but I'll take those points. All right, so let's go back to 4:15, where the New England Patriots are hosting the Giants here at Gillette Stadium. And what's the number now for?
8.5.
A lot of people surprised by that, except for Andy.
I am going to have to enact a rule because technically speaking, this is a matchup between the number 10 Patriots and number 7 Giants. But that 3 is enough for the window where I go with the home team.
Oh, you're a fraud.
No, that's what I'm told. Plus, I just think the Patriots are going to kill them.
Told.
I think it's a 14-point victory. They don't lose to the NFC at home. They don't lose at home. They don't lose back-to-back games.
Their
secondary not that good. They won't allow the pass rush to beat them again. Yeah. Eli Manning will throw at least 3 picks. I have a million things to say, and they all say Patriots win. And cover.
Yeah, I have to agree with them. I think they're going to come back out of the gates off this loss to Pittsburgh, and they're going to take it out on the Giants. And the Giants aren't playing well. Ahmad Bradshaw was being driven through the parking lot to practice today with, you know, with a boot on his foot and his hand, his leg up on the cart.
Plus,
not
he
good
was
for
here,
them.
So he wasn't even at the right place.
Yeah, so that's
sometimes
unfortunate.
He says stuff. I don't know where he gets it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's what I mean.
Well, Eric said like he was talking like he actually saw it.
No, I read a report about it.
I know.
So he got hurt in practice?
No, he's been hurt.
Oh, it's that screw.
It's just that
Bert's
it's the pre-existing.
It's the metatarsal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
I didn't know which one.
That whole thing confused me.
Metatarsal.
Metamucil. That's what Andy.
No, that's what I take at night. Berry.
I am taking the point. I mean, the Patriots are going to win the game.
The
I think for all the reasons, but
no.
I will take the points. You know,
it settles me.
The Patriots have only held one team all year below 21, so that means the Patriots have to get to 30 to cover. So I think it'll be a higher scoring game. I don't see the Patriots shutting down the Giants, but I don't see the Patriots losing the game. And really, I don't see them being in trouble losing the game. But 8.5 is too many to lay. I'm going to take the Patriots in the points.
You're wrong. 35-21.
Paul, Patriots win. They do not cover. All right. Well, that's going to do it.
I just want to get back to your Steelers. Are you worried about this game at all?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
More worried than the Steelers game.
Yes.
But he had no worry for the Steelers.
I had no worry
game.
Going right. into the
so
Steelers.
So at home against the Giants, you are concerned?
Sure.
Really?
I am.
You should be concerned every week.
Conditions on the ground have changed.
Everybody panicked.
What has changed?
They just got killed.
Every week.
Their defense stinks. It has stunk since week one.
Which is why you should be concerned every week.
But it was getting better. It looked like it was getting better. And then last week showed us that the improvement was an aberration.
You need to have concern.
I'm with Freddie.
When was it getting better?
I'm always with Freddie.
All right. So that's it for us this week.
Even when you're bumping butts.
There will be a pregame social this
Except
week.
Except then.
Yes.
Barring any electrical outages, there will be a pregame social. So don't forget 2 o'clock. Join Andy and Paul. Eric and I will be upstairs in the press box. John Rook is up next. John, what do you got going?
Well, we'll continue to look at the Giants and talk a little bit on Ahmad Bradshaw and his, you know, foot that's hanging off by a thread and other things like that. And Russell Baxter, the pro football guru, will be with us.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for us. John Rook and Pete Shepard, we'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.